Roundtable. This is Beth, and I'm here with Tara and Rama.
Greetings.
Thank you for joining us today, everybody. What I'd like to do is start out with a meditation. And I would like you to just relax and know that this is a gift from Ra. It's a DNA activation. And it's to make out-of-body travel easier.
There's some noise in the background.
Yes, there is, but it's done.
Okay,
okay, everybody.
Technical difficulties beyond our control.
Right. So if you've just taken a few breaths, after we do our meditation, then we'll have hard news, and I invite you to call in. The number here is 415-762-1161. So let's get ready now and start our meditation. All of the galactics, archangels, and ascended masters are joining with us. And connect with your guides for this activation. This is the Stargate meditation from Ra. And this is Ra speaking. I would like to bring you all into a deeper awareness of your body. You have entered a time where your DNA has been activated. You are now able to focus on the sun in your heart. You may use this sun as your own stargate to the interdimensions. On the etheric levels, you are able to go back inside of your body and from there launch to anywhere. This is another way to travel out of body. Go inside. As the force pours into your crown, raise your frequency. Feel bliss pour in. Allow yourself to come to the still, silent place. See rings of colored light around your body. These energy rings raise your vibration higher and higher. Get very small. Shift to small. And go into the light conduit in the core center of your body. Go up, up, up until you reach your heart. There you may see a star. It is two tetrahedrons together. This is your sun star, the stargate in your heart. Sit in this Merkava in your heart and see it is spinning around you. It speeds up and this Merkava becomes your vehicle to travel interdimensionally. You are a starcraft, and it is you. It is controlled by your thoughts. Think fly. Now you launch forward at warp speed and see the stars of space going out before you. As you move forward, you pass Saturn with her rings, blue Uranus, and bright like the sun, Mercury. You keep going forward past the planets and stars, and there you see a floating city. Surrounding this floating city are white sawtooth mountains. The mountains are snow-capped and sawtooth, and they are the biggest mountain range you have ever seen anywhere. The city is sparkling, opalescent, and it is growing before your eyes. It is opening its gates to allow your Merkava craft entrance. You see a centaur and a Pegasus flying before you, showing you the way in. They are white. Everything here is white and sparkling in a baby blue sky. You enter the city and a profound, deep relaxation catches you by surprise. You sigh. And you see the others in the city. The people here are beautiful in every way. The women are gorgeous. The men are breathtaking. And everyone is helpful and kind. You feel your heart beating through your chest as you are opening to the love here. It doesn't feel like walking. It feels like floating. Little fluffy tribbles fly around asking if you need anything, maybe a drink. It is humorous how relaxed everyone here is. It is time to get back into the Merkava for the next stop on the way. Get into your Merkava, the stargate in the center of your heart. Launch again, off to Arcturus. When you see Arcturus coming, over the event horizon, you realize it has three moons, three blue moons. Arcturus is the biggest planet you ever remember seeing. It is blue like the Earth, but it has many hundreds of different colors you've never seen before. You land your Merkaba in the legendary Amethyst Mountain. On Arcturus, there is an entire mountain range made of pure amethyst crystal. It is purple and clear and sparkling. There are pointed mountaintops made completely of amethyst stretching as far as the eye can see. This is a place to come whenever you want to fuel up on love. You decide to sit on an amethyst outcropping to soak up the love here. There is this glowing vibration of peace. As you sit, it strikes you that the mountains are singing to you, a beautiful song. You feel tears running down your face at the realization that the mountains acknowledge you there. The mountains sing into your heart and fill you with love. You completely lose track of time. You are glued to your spot. This is the first time you remember that mountains sing sweet songs. The beautiful sun starts to sink lower and lower. It is time to go back. You climb back into the Merkaba, the sun's stargate inside your heart. You are back in a flash, right inside your own body. You climb out of your heart Merkaba and move down your body conduit out and grow back to your regular size. Your eyes open and you are back in your chair on your spot. Anytime you want to take off to the interdimensional planes, just go inside, deep inside and into your heart. It is as easy as that. Your body is a stargate. Mother Earth is a stargate. The sun is a stargate. All of the planets are stargates. You may travel and go home anytime. You may go anywhere and stay as long as you like, and come back whenever you are ready. Blessings, children. Ra. Thank you very much. I pass the talking stick.
Oh, my.
I like that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure where to go with that.
I thought that might blow you out and you would forget all the news.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Arcturus. I mean, Amethyst Mountains are a little easier to talk about instead of the killing fields in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I know.
Yeah.
And we're moments away from traveling there whenever we like.
Yes.
Yes. That's what I want. That's what I want. Why I want to share it with everybody.
Yes.
To remind everyone what we're talking about and what we're working on. It's not all about the news, news, news. It's about getting back to heaven on earth.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to open up a chat window to see if people are going to call Beth. Do you know how to do that? I hate to sound dumb about some of this, but I'm still learning Skype.
No, I agree. It can be, thank you, Seth. It can be very confusing. It's best if the engineer does it.
Oh, okay. I see.
You see now where we are?
Yeah.
Everybody, if you want to join in the news, bring something to share. The number is 415-762-1161.
There to start. I was listening to NPR today with Leanne Henson and Lakshmi Singh, and they were talking about Obama and his next agenda and this campaign finance reform, that Supreme Court, where they passed a law that corporations can give people like Sarah Palin and John McCain and Sarah and Michelle Bachmann all kinds of money to run against good Democratic folks and create quite a stir. And let's say, you know, Kim Jong-il's son from North Korea decides to send $50 million to Mike Huckabee or Mitt Romney or, let's say, Rick Santorum. He's still out there. And I'm just telling you, this is the kind of stuff that can happen. They were speaking about...
No, it can't happen because they're stopping it.
Yeah, and this is why it's taking to the next level where Obama is saying, I disagree with my own Supreme Court in the sense that it's been taken over by these judges.
It wasn't his in the first place. It was Bushy Boy who messed it up, and the one before him, and the one before that.
That's right. And I was listening to this, and they weren't giving people a chance to call in, but the way they were just making it so is that this will not stand with the Syrian commander where the justice system is screwed up.
And oh, it's been standing since...
I think there's about to be a change in what they're talking about.
400 years ago, Sir Francis Bacon said, kill all the lawyers. It's still there.
I know, and I got to say that there are some aces up the Syrian commander's sleeve he ain't talking about. And down in Florida, where he had a little chat alone with some folks, those were some folks of the... these were the tall, white aliens. I don't want to use that word. I want to say these were the culture of Tau Ceti. And the
What's that?
The Tau Cetians. There's a picture on the round table.
I know. Where are they from?
They're from Andromeda and a place called Tau Ceti in our galaxy.
Is that a planet?
It's a star, it's a constellation, and they're from the fourth planet circling that sun, and they are part of this Solar Tribunal Council, and they're here to oversee the affairs in terms of rounding up the intergalactic war criminals for a trial at Saturn, and this is what is going on the biggest levels. And Mr. Obama is doing this at the same time, running a family and running a country, which is a bit like doing two things at once and nothing at all. And you think he's worried? I mean, this is why every now and then he might go and have a couple puffs on the frajos out back behind the White House. And I'm not condoning that at all. Cigarettes are bad news. And it is, I mean, and I have to take this to the cultures that began to propagate these plants in a sense. Yes, it is part of all of the cultures.
You know what they did? They did. They stopped the Native Americans from being able to sell their tobacco.
Across state lines.
Half of their tobacco crops just got axed.
This has to do with nasty folks within the Bureau of Indian Affairs that are not true people of the land. They are bought out by the white man, bought out by the 13 families who the lobbyists said a drop of a hat, drop $5,000 into your bank account and go, oh, look at that. Can I help you out? And on it goes. And I was listening to all of this with NPR, and that ended, and there was supposed to be a new show that was on called Peace Talks Radio with Clyde Barnes. He's a local here in New Mexico, who's part of the Veterans for Peace. And that show, they had technical difficulties. I mean, Mercury is approaching, so he's wearing his hat backwards. And instead, they put on alternative radio. And on this alternative radio was Jeremy Scahill, Naomi Klein, Rosie O'Donnell, Phil Donahue, and Rachel Meadows. And they were all talking about how right now these unlawful wars in Afghanistan and Iraq all stem from 9/11, and how there are grassroots groups connected with MoveOn.org and AfterDowningStreet.org, and George Galloway is behind this, along with George Soros. And this is how things are being turned around, where these wealthy folks who witnessed watching hand over fist multiply and blossom overnight with something called hedge funds, money for nothing and chicks for free. Remember the movie 9.5 Weeks? This is what it's about. And I mean, right now,
Confessions
of an Economic Hitman. You know, how can I go into a nice democratically elected Latin American government and twist the leader?
These are our demands.
How can I give you an offer you can't refuse? And this is what it's about, the godfather all over the planet. And, well, the godmother showed up, and, and she's going to kick the godfather out of town. And what is being said right now is these people, I mean, Phil Donahue, Rosie O'Donnell, these people have lots and lots of money that have to do with changing the way structures are put together. And it's being done in a way in which where we the people are going to get our freedom of speech back along with everything else. And I don't mean future tense, I mean right now. And in the midst of this, I get a call from someone that I'm still integrating this wisdom from. And this very proper this private number calls me today, and a very proper British-speaking lady says, "Hi, my name is Jillian. You don't know me, but I am a friend of Harry and William. And I was told to call you to let you know something huge is about to happen in terms of the big story, little picture, or little picture, big story."
Big picture, big story.
That's right. It's a big picture and a big story, which is called first and foremost, first contact, because we are waiting right now in the wings as the 33rd member of the Confederation of Worlds. And this lady, she was a member of MI5 and P2 Lodge, and she got out. And how she got out was she had to kill her superior officer, and she's not happy or proud about it. She just said, "I had to do what I had to do to serve Lord Michael and the office of the Christ."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "If I hadn't done it,
then
I wouldn't
be
here speaking to you." Yeah. And what she is saying right now is there is a major wave of frequencies that is going across this planet where the chair of Peter no longer holds an energy that place holds power, and the Vatican is very worried about their hold on the power, and it's almost a stranglehold because Mr. Ratzinger knows he is about to be dealt with in terms of his Nazi terms called transport, where they loaded up not just Jews, but gypsies and gays and anyone who opposed Hitler, and transported them to the death camps, and 25 million people died, not 6 million. Mm-hmm. And these were gypsies, these were Christians, these were anybody that opposed the brown shirts and the Führer. And once again, these stories are ending right now. These ties, they go into the very families that run this little country here, this Democratic Republic, if we can keep it, like Ben Franklin said. And this is why all these whistleblowers or people who are of the media that remember what real free media was like before the five corporations took it over. And that was only just in the 70s. That wasn't that long ago. And it has to do with the Reagan tax cuts and everything that was implemented in terms of rolling back all of the checks and balances that kept this situation on this planet in a lawful state. Now all these crimes are being brought forward. And this lady, Jillian, is just saying that you are going to be witnessing all the heads, the crown heads, rolling right now out of power because of the fact, the biggest story they cannot keep hidden is our galactic friends who each day continue to land, whether the governments like it or not.
And did they say anything about the pot being empty? I mean, there's no coffer.
The way they are speaking is it may seem as if that moment is looking that way, yet Saint Germain and the Bank of Saint Germain is open for business and things are about to shift right now. And something that in the last day or two, Tom told me, no one seemed to notice that the Dow climbed to almost 11,000 on Friday. And it was sort of not talked about. It was a non-issue. The issues more were about the coal miners. And that was a diversionary tactic from the other stories that needed to be talked about, which was the fact that Obama is moving forward with nuclear disarmament and first contact. And, you know.
Did they get a little more detailed about that? Because he never signed anything that was any different than what Reagan did.
That's right. He reinstated the checks and balances between Russia and the U.S., where they are scaling down. And the next step that wasn't discussed was, remember, Mr. Obama went to Florida to have a private chat with somebody alone. Nobody was allowed to come to that meeting. And it was about for an hour or so in Florida. And and that was with some galactic folks, the Tau Ceti folks that are having to deal with intergalactic war crimes. And also to answer your story, Beth, why was Mr. Obama at a supposed soccer game and he was nowhere to be found?
Yeah.
He was busy having a chat with Mr. X and a few others at a place in which where he was out of earshot and eyeshot, where he could have a talk with some other folks who are on the ground that have to do with taking down Wall Street and C Street and K Street and all the other checks and balances of banks who have not been checking and balancing themselves.
There are no checks and balances anymore.
No. And what he is doing is taking on the role of Heru, Horus, the Falcon God, taking it on. And I will just, that is what Jillian said to me today, that this guy is representing the energies of Heru or Horus.
Barak?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And I guess Horus has something to do with bringing through the Eye of Ra, which is Mother. And she's the great Awa.
The Light and the Dark Mother.
Yeah. And she is calling all her children home, whether they like it or not. And that energy is so strong, they have to respond, even if they are going kicking and screaming.
It's the end of free will choice in the sense that it will no longer be allowed to interfere in Mother Gaia's ascension process the way it has.
And all the psychic soldiers, all the super soldiers, all the people that are waking up out of the dream matrix are rubbing their eyes and looking around, because this lady, Jillian, she had to go for 20 years, in a sense, into training with the king and others through the networks across this planet after she escaped from MI5 and P2 Lodge. And you could say she came out a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with the healings going on right now with all these different people that are waking up from the shock doctrine. And that shock doctrine goes so deep that it's hard to wake Joe the Plumber, Dave the Carpenter up when you go in a place like North Carolina, and almost on every corner there's a church. And in those churches, they don't tell you the truth. If they talk the way we talk, they are burned at the stake for heresy, even to this day. And I just have to say that it's not okay. This is why Mother is here, to shake the tonal up and bring in the Nagual, because the economic hitmen are, Mother is hunting them. And it's their own energy coming in, because they have wronged, you could say, themselves by not following the law of love. And we must love them even more. This is why I didn't want to talk about this instead of crystal amethyst mountains, Beth.
I understand.
I could cry.
The first time you land there and you look around, you just can't believe what you're seeing. So beautiful.
Yeah.
And are there other beings? How do they live? I mean, there's society there, right?
Yeah, but they're, you know, on the etheric, they're not. I mean, they're in the higher dimension. It's hard to describe.
Oh, well, I know that there's books written about different planets and how their society functions.
I've read some of that. I have a tendency to go and have an experience, and on Alpha Centauri, I mix with everybody there, but most places I just go on my own.
Well,
I go there to experience the nature, and I take my guides with me. Usually I'll take Tom or Ashtar or King of Swords will come with me, or Saint Germain, and then they'll be my guide when I get there. That's how I usually do it. Oh, Rama.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning, there's going to be world leaders from every country you can imagine in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. I mean, is there not news? Is there not news about this important meeting floating out there?
This is why the king, let's just say, I tried to call him today, and after about 10 tries, I got rerouted to this lady, Jillian, who called me, you know, with this very proper British accent, and I'm going, huh?
Okay.
And my feeling is that D.C. is so loaded with dignitaries and security and diplomats and thugs that, you know, we're watching a showdown, if you will, between the different factions of the families who have a vested interest in keeping the matrix alive and the lie going and the shock doctrine going.
Well, you know, that's interesting because you just talked to Lady Di for a while, and it hadn't been a long, been a long time. It was about a week and a half ago or something you talked to
They
Lady
are
Di.
On their way to Wesak Festival, the Buddha's birthday.
And then her two sons come into the limelight.
I know. And Harry and William want a new investigation into the death of their mother.
Right.
Well, what happened to the ongoing one in Paris that King of Egypt is still...
It's still pending. And it's at the issue in which where there are things going on between the USA and Sarkozy and Interpol and MI5 and MI6.
Not to mention that the entire European Union was in full collapse a long time ago.
And things go so deep I can't really say because I don't really know.
And the British government is bankrupt.
Right.
How long can we pretend?
Right.
Oh, here's something interesting.
Yeah.
The president of the Central Bank of Poland devalued the, I think it's called a pulsy. That's Polish. I'm not saying it right. I'm sorry. And then the next day got on the plane with the president and his wife and the head of the minister of defense. And he's the president of the Central Bank. And they're all gone the next day.
Right.
And they had put off joining the EU until 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the bigger story behind that.
And it has to do with the biggest issue where Mr. Putin is not part of these 13 families. He represents a different piece of the pie. And they don't like them apples one bit.
And which part of the pie is he?
He represents the Eastern Sphere, which is tied in with the Asians, the people from Pleiades and Sirius, and the place in which where the Black Dragon Society is turning over a new leaf and saying, we want to follow the ways of the Force, Obi-Wan and Yoda. We will stand down, and we may have to answer for our crimes. This is why, even to this day, you mentioned the words, the Kundun and Free Tibet, and the idea of Tiananmen Square and Falun Gong. And you say these words in mainland China, you will be arrested.
Right.
And this is why, in the sense, the Indigo Crystal Children stepping up to the plate to change how the structure is done over there. And in that concept, the shakeup between the ones that are in power, the major power struggle going on in mainland China and with the People's Republic of China has to do where the Indigo Crystal Rainbow Children, they are very well organized with the red and the green and the Shaolin Masters and the Hong Kong Blondes. And there will just be a switching out. And you could say this will also have some help from the Pleiadian and Syrian brothers and sisters who are part of shifting this over from a black dragon to a white dragon. And it doesn't have anything to do with race. It has to do with the changing of the guard back to the office of the Christ, of which the planetary prince, this dual role held by Archangel Michael and Sananda Kumara, in the sense where the clarion call has gone out for this planet to become a star as Terra Nova. Everything that does not exist within the frequency of a star does not exist.
Right.
And that's what's happening. And take it or leave it. That's what they are saying.
Right. And there's another story I thought was interesting that kind of plays into this colon story. Well, not really. I mean, kind of. I was hoping you could explain it.
The issues with the idea that he devalued the currency, then jumped on a plane with all these other folks. It's got to do with the bigger political games going on called brinkmanship between the East and the West, where this is the story between the U.S. and Putin and the U.N. Is there going to be a missile defense shield, or is it just going to be talk? And the whole idea of even putting up a missile defense shield pointing towards Russia is the idea we don't trust each other. And all of that is about to change as the Galactics put their feet on the floor here and say, we want to pass the talking stick about and talk about peace instead of war.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do it now.
Well, I didn't talk to you about this, but I asked what happened with the airplane. And what I understood, and you might have heard something different, was that it was not revenge, that it was planned by the ones on the plane, and not all of them knew. Only a small group of them planned it together.
Oh, I hadn't heard that news.
That was what I was shown. It was maybe six of them made the plan together, made the arrangements, brought their families, and didn't tell anybody. And so the ones on the plane didn't know except for just a few. And it was not revenge. That's what I heard.
You're breaking up just a little bit, Beth. I don't know why.
I would only just say that there are so many different facets to this story that has ramifications on a global scale because of the fact that we are moving away from these New World Orders and coming to a place of a global galactic society. And it's about a global village. And we are all parts, I mean part and parts of that global village where mm-hmm. when one is harmed, all are harmed. When one is healed, all are healed. There's no borders. This is what the song Imagine All the People are about.
Yeah.
And this is what is being brought forth here by the Galactics as we can come together as a civilization that is one village or one society understanding peace, then we get to see what has been discussed in terms of the folks that show up. And like last night, we were discussing how Val Valerian and Klaatu would come back during Eisenhower was around. And he, Val Valerian, had a chat with the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
There's one pressing story I wanted to talk about, and I'd love to do that next. I just don't want this one to slip by because it feels like it's important, and I'm not
okay.
sure.
And I just wanted to put a call out.
Beth, you're still breaking up just ever so slightly. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Yes. Well, we are working with the 777. Do we want to talk about that now?
Well, I want to finish the hard news first.
Okay.
Rama.
All right. Yes, go ahead, Beth.
Okay, there's this country, and it's called, I don't want to get this wrong, let's see.
Kyrgyzstan?
Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan had a coup. had a coup last week, and the new person that was put into place is I think she may be Oriental, and her name is Rosa Otumbeva. And she used to be in their government, and now she's the leader of the country.
Yes.
This Kyrgyzstan is a country between Afghanistan
and Waziristan and Tajikistan.
And the Russians and the U.S. troops, there's 1,000 soldiers that pass through this country every day on their way to Afghanistan. And the people in that country are done with it. They're tired of it. They've had it.
That's
it's
right.
Like, it's like watching, you know.
I mean, our kids are going down there. They've been so programmed so bad the way they've been
trained. But the poppy
lady
described to me as the farmers and the simple people. It's like watching people go off to war against Mordor.
Yes, exactly.
And you mean the innocent.
And the way they portrayed this lady in the newspaper is they showed her with a tribal headdress on that was, you know, that was sewn with colored threads in patterns. And they kind of were making her out to look like a farmer, and I didn't like that at all. So I found a picture of her serving in government in street clothes, you know, like in a suit, like regular people, and they were kind of trying to make her out to be this peasant or something. And I think they're trying to hide the truth of this news that they're putting a female into play in this important place.
I think it's got to do with the fact that this lady represents a shift in the wind where the feminine goddess is speaking up and saying, you know, we have a role to play here. We do not wish to watch our men and our children die any longer.
That's right.
Now you see why I wasn't wanting to close out the hard news until I mentioned her.
Yes, I get it.
I mean, this lady that was a friend, that is a friend of William and
Harry.
She's only 38 years old. We're sitting here watching Naomi Klein talk here, and she might be 38.
That's right.
And look at what these women are doing.
These are the goddess coming back with taking their power with love.
I was having a baby at 38.
Yeah.
Still, another baby.
Well, who knows? There's more babies coming into the planet now. Things are about to change a lot.
The baby. Let's get the big baby burst. Big baby Mother Earth, Tita Aquaria. Oh, that picture is still, I can see imagine crystal mountains that are amethyst all the way down as far as you can see. I thought to myself, you got stuck in it for 3,000 years.
An amethyst crystal, yeah.
That's why when you tell the story, that's why I said, what planet were you on?
You said
Pangaea.
Pangaea is this, it's not a planet, it's the land that
it's
was on
Earth. Right.
When it wasn't broken up.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
That was during which creation?
The first.
Oh, right.
There was a duel, and the dark wizard challenged the light wizard, there wasn't just one dark wizard and one light wizard. There were many wizards on the planet at that time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the power of magic was running rampant.
And sorcerers, and this was just like right out of Dungeons and Dragons and Stargate.
Well,
SG1.
You
got to
tell people who don't know what Dungeons and Dragons is.
I'm sure everybody knows by
oh,
this.
Oh, you
time.
Do? Huh?
Yes, I
you,
do.
Well, you'll have to explain it anyway. No, really. Is that like a...
It's a board game where you take on the persona of different beings.
It's from the 80s.
It's a role-playing game that you can play online now as
well.
So
did you play it?
Yeah.
And what role did you play?
I played a wizard.
Oh.
Yeah.
You remember those
days.
That's
the answer that I'm laughing.
I went to Hogwarts.
What do you think he would play? Of course he played the wizard.
You better read about
Potter.
Harry Potter. Get in with the kids. But it's all this sophistication of England's magic, you know, Harry Potter, England's magic, and how well they can keep secrets. Yet, you know, they never were able to keep them, right?
Right. And now it's coming out, and the true queen.
Oh, my God, I mean...
A lot of Harry Potter is reminding the new children that they are magical, and the Muggles... A lot of times, their parents are non-magical.
And it
gives them permission to think about it.
And it helps them wake up and have even more love for, you know, Granny B down the hall who still, you know, doesn't believe in fairies.
That's right.
Yeah. What did I say?
It's been a surreal time to think about the different changes since we came into the Earth plane. And, a lot of us are different ages now. I mean, there's a lot of younger folks that are really creatively able to unencumberedly, you know, depending on what part of the system ensnared the particular neighborhood and all the circumstances around that. You know what it did for us? It forced people to really have a better look at their neighbors. And, I mean, Wall Street, in terms of people living in New York City right now downtown, are just like, it's a ghost town in a certain way.
Well, it's time to end this now, because even though our children remember that they're magical and these younger ones remember that, they're still trying to suck them in with all kinds of different ways.
Well, if you go and you talk about this in grade school right at this time on the planet, you will be sent to a psychiatrist or a special school, or you may get shot up with some kind of drugs for talking to angels or fairies.
Yeah.
And that's not cool. Because
But in literature, they are bringing it into the younger children. My kids read books about magical beings all the time.
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
You know, they have that book series about the guy who is the son of the gods, you know, and he goes to this place where they made for just kids to go for training for their special powers.
Yes.
Cool.
Percy Jackson, remember?
Oh, yes.
Percy Jackson and the Olympians. The kids are reading these things now. There's another one called The Thief Lord. That's another series.
Oh, cool.
There's another one called, I always say it wrong, Artemis Fowl is another book series that's magical. So the teachers are able to talk about these things to the kids in that context, and some of them get it, and they're doing a good job.
Very good. Big Will is on line one.
Hi, Big Will.
Hi, Big
Will. Everybody, I have a very pressing question for Lord Rama.
Thank you. There you are.
Yes.
You got to talk a little bit
louder.
Can you
hear me
clearly? You got to get louder.
Okay, can you hear me?
There you go.
Okay, that better?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Okay. My question is for Lord Rama. Lord Rama, the new technologies that are coming our way, one of those technologies is already here. would you expound upon the technology called the NanoWand, WAND, I pass the talking stick.
The NanoWand?
Oh, NanoWand.
NanoWand, called the NanoWand, or 0.1.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are technologies that are coming out now as things become freer, how to heal the body, that they are all part of the magnetic frequencies to help heal the planet and heal our bodies. And more of this is going to come out, how the Tesla energies are here to help us. And that
I just know that it goes to the next, you know, smaller. The smaller molecules can go and do work where these larger molecules have just completely bypassed. And in other words, their intelligence is good things come in small packages.
And there's something that's happening across the planet with the processor chips and these things called PCs and Macs and all the other technology.
They're becoming intelligent, then they're absolutely cannot explain it.
That's right, and it goes beyond.
Interactive, and they are taking over in phase of maybe needing to have their own network because
let's
they need
just
to
say
have free
that
speech.
if the internet was. They tried to shut the internet down. It would not shut down. It would show up somewhere else, and it just would spread like a virus in the sense that the nanites and the technology.
I think that's because our intelligence has penetrated to the reality that we created this whole thing in the first place.
This is why the nanites that are embedded in all the satellites across this planet that are circling out there. When Ashtar gives the signal, just like that, all the nanites are activated, and the computers across this planet take, they are downloaded with an upgrade to amino acid computers. And we will interact with each other in the way in which the computers interact on the ships. And it's already happening. They have this stuff. Yet it is at the captain and the admiral's discretion. I will leave that up to them. But yes, Big Will, all the nanites are waking everything up.
I just know that it speeds up the healing process, and I mean it just works on that frequency of energy where it's to me that it's just looking for reconnective ways to, you know, bring wholeness, which is still there. It's that basic principle that the etheric blueprint, which Metatron holds, is still there. So that the intelligence, no matter where it is or through what technology it comes, has that blueprint as the nature of their ability to be at such an in-depth micro-communication level with that tissue and all of its mechanisms, all of its fluids and everything. It's amazing.
It's just like this thing called the Adam Kadmon,
that's
the divine temple.
And our skin, you know, whatever we, it's so, you know, the sensitivity of the skin is just off the scale. And, I mean, it's amazing that we're still breathing.
Right, these bags of water, as Cynthia describes us.
Mm-hmm. The thing about healing, a big part of healing is that the person has to believe that it's working. And so when we get the numbers for the water from Lloyd, or if we ask on the etheric for galactic healing, or if we're holding a wand, it's essentially all doing the same thing in the cells. And part of it is the one needing the healing must believe that it's working, and then it works, no matter what the modality.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Holya.
Thank you, Big Will.
Hello.
Hi, Holya. How are you?
Hi, Rama, Beth, and Tara. How are you this afternoon?
To hear from you.
We're all.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I wanted to ask a question. A minute ago, you were talking about the children. And have you heard of the Ringing Cedars series of books?
Yes.
Very good books.
In book three, which is called The Space of Love, they talk about the forest school, where this particular school has been designed, built, and decorated by the kids that go there, and that they cover the entire high school curriculum in 1 year and get a master's degree by the time they're 17.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so they cook their own meals, they do administrative work, they write their own textbooks, and they contemplate the meaning of the universe and swim in the mountain streams, dance, draw, sing, pick strawberries in the surrounding fields, and they can shoot from an automatic rifle and fight on swords. So they master ancient folk crafts in awakening their ancestral memory. So, I mean, what do you know about that school?
I can just say these are part of the mystery schools that are part of the right and left eye of Horus or Heru. These are the mystery schools that never died but yet kind of went into seclusion because the 13 families don't want us to figure out we're gods.
So is this woman Anastasia who gave this man who wrote the books this information? There was some conversation about whether or not she was a mythical, character, or is she real?
She is as real as you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Oh, yes.
Is she still alive?
Mm. Absolutely.
She part of the White Knights across this planet.
And she has
My God. And so this school is actually real, and they were saying that they had a tremendous, I'll just read this little paragraph right here. They said the girls choose not to wear mini skirts, makeup, or flashy jewelry. They have no interest in the TV or video games. They do not prepare themselves for life. They live every moment they breathe. They do it all with a mission to reclaim our true essence and bring back to the planet, Earth, the era of awareness and peace. It's and then you can just read about the school in book three, and then they have a video, a DVD that you can purchase also. I wasn't sure about this when I read it, but I was absolutely amazed that these kids are like, by the time they're 17, they have master's degrees.
I know parents who have their children there.
You do, Beth.
Mm-hmm. They email me.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Do they do a very intense screening before they let you in? I mean, or do you have to know somebody to get your kids in?
I did not explore those questions with them. This person who emailed me is wealthy, and it's, in a place where what he was saying made sense. He calls them the golden children.
Oh. Right, and I don't think they pay anything. I think the school is free. Is that correct?
He told me about it in detail, but I didn't ask those questions.
Okay, then.
I'll
send them an email. They have you can contact them, but books sound absolutely amazing. Have any of you read the books?
I've only read parts of the first one, and I haven't finished that yet.
Although, you know, Cynthia, she covers those books when you go to her classes sometimes. And
yes.
We're all overlapping now in this information. I'll just say this, though, that Anastasia is a being from the motherland.
Yeah.
And she's an example of not being yet and still living proof that the world that we appear to be living in was different upon a time. It was not that. In other words, all that which we have lifted up as an elusive overlay of the land, she represents that her abilities and our abilities are the same, that she has maintained in her vision the garden. And she is in she's from another dimensional reality from which we...
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Atari, is she an immortal being?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or is she galactic?
Absolutely.
That's here on planet Earth, or is she just part of an ancient civilization that has been in hiding?
She's from ancient Mu. She is a living immortal, and there are others. And that's what the brotherhood and the sisterhood are. And in other words, there are 144 brotherhood, sisterhood, ray energy combinations. And from there, everybody can create a dance. And there are as many dances as there have been incarnations over 450 billion year process. And she is an eternal immortal in the perfection of the body that we were before we left that reality to explore denser reality. That's what we did. And the only way you explore denser reality is, first of all, by exploring it with taking the consequences of what nature always does. Nature abhors a vacuum. So we have been filling it with experiences and recording those experiences in consciousness for the one beingness to be able to stay in touch with. And she's a living reality that hope is alive, if you might say. That healing of the planet is... That healing of the planet is alive because she is a living, perfect example that hope still exists, because she wouldn't exist if it weren't. That way.
Right. Other thing, is she, I mean, I'm wondering, will there be other schools that will be created, like this Rama, around the planet after the galactic slam? Because, I mean, I think, absolutely, it's you know, wonderful. I have grandchildren who are they're still little now. They're like six and seven, but six and eight at least. And I mean, that would be wonderful if there were other schools around, especially in this country, where children could attend these kinds of, you know, educational environments that are, you know, in harmony with who they are and also with the energies of the planet. But anyway, I'm going to hang up and I'll just listen to the rest of your comments.
I was going to say before you go, Lady Master, that what we have always been in terms of the vision at the World Symposium is to create those places ourselves.
Well, I've just been told in the last couple of weeks that the first things they're going to do is go setting up these schools everywhere.
Mm. Oh, wonderful,
they're going to
Beth.
Be setting up.
Okay, that you mean after they make their landings and we go through our educational process with them.
You know, you've seen that commercial where they have the monitor in the classroom and the children in America are talking to the children in China on monitors?
Right.
Yes, I have seen that. I love that.
Not only are they going to set up these schools, modeled after this with the galactic holographic technologies, but they're also going to put monitors everywhere, and the children in India are going to talk to the children in Russia, and the children in Russia are going to talk to the children in China, and the children in Australia are going to talk to the children in the U.S., and they'll all be connected together.
Well, won't they be able to teleport? Won't they be able to teleport to those places and back and forth, huh?
This is going to be put into place immediately after announcement.
Just like in
okay,
the
I got you, and the other things will come later.
You know what's happened, I believe. I mean, from all these 37 now years where I'm in my 37th year of this as the focus, and watching what you do when you hold focus like that and what is magnetized to yourself and vice versa, it has taken me to so many places where these things are what's being done.
Right now we are being taught, like, all the things you saw in the movie The Last Mimsy are coming to pass right now.
Mm-hmm. And right after announcements, the homeless will have homes. Everybody will have food and water that they need. Hospitals and schools go up immediately. So even though it takes 15 to 18 months to get around the world with packages hand-delivered to every person and hand-signed for around the world, it will be instant that there will be hospitals and schools and food and water and homes to those who need them immediately.
I mean, there's another thing that came forth that what has been given to me in regards, I am also an artist, a professional artist, and as I go through my nightly visits and in my meditations, I've been seeing an international arts community where artists are using liquid light and rays and advanced technology to create artwork. Beth, have you heard anything about that from the Galactics or any of you?
It's already happening. There is one in Italy, Rama. What's that called? Damanhur.
I know about Damanhur, yes.
Yes, and then there's another one in the south of France, right where René Le Chateau is, where, you know, Magdalene and her, and Yeshu raised a family along with the whole seeing group that recongregated there. And these places have been been working under the ground, building cities of art. And, I mean, I haven't been there yet. I'm just saying that this is a part of their connection with the Agartha Network, because there's already been all kinds of things going on under the ground in these places. From the historical
right, page. I received a newsletter from Damanhur, and I've been invited to come there and spend some time with them. So I know about them, and they have mystery schools there also. I did not know of the school that you're referring to in France. Do you know what the name of it is, Tara?
I just know that I have to get back and look for it, because a friend of ours who was living here, she went to live there, and she was part of an ongoing project that had already been in its progress and stages, and I haven't heard anything. It's been a long time, yet she's been away. She's from Atlanta, yet she's been away 1994, so that's a long time. And
okay, and one last question. What's the name of the city that you said that it's in France?
René de la Chateau or something. D-E-L-E-C-H. Oh, boy. Chateau.
T-E-S?
I'll
look it up on the internet, but listen, I'm not going to take up any more time. Thank you so much. And if any of you get any information from our galactic brothers and sisters in regards to the role that we will be playing in artists, please let me know, because that is something that is very critical. I started a chapter of a national women's organization here in the Massachusetts area, and there have been people that have been inquiring about the new work that we have to do as artists. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
And I was going to say one more. I mean, you're just getting me going, but there's been an international art exchange going on all over the world. And I'm talking about stone carvings, for instance. The stone carvers and the bronze metal workers of Tamil Nadu in South India, they did it in India. They did their craft. They built these pillars and I'm not kidding, that for a temple to be placed from there, and they put all this stuff on the ship, and they took the whole thing and transported it to Kauai, and they put the temple up in Kauai on a portal from the original place. Now, you know that Kauai is the first place where the Galactics came here.
19.5 degrees.
Ancient Mu. And, I mean, I've been to those places, and, I mean, the full-color memory of my time when we were there, when it was originally pristine when we came here, is there. I mean, those things like time tracks or what time travel, I mean, where a screen shows up and you're going through another time period, that's exactly what we have now. And that's what's been going on. And the underground cities of light that have been staying in place in the ancient Agartha network, they're rising to the surface, and they have connected in these underground places like these art places with. I really strongly suggest that you might be taking a little trek around the world and doing something with your skills regarding that.
There are cities under the Mato Grosso Sea, and this is connected with Porto Logos and Matox, the city is called Petiti, which is part of the Agartha network, and this is where Marconi and Tesla live to this day, alive, and they are still intact, and they will be back when peace is declared to talk about the free energies. I will pass the talking stick. I know Reverend Dale's waiting there, and Angel Sue.
Thank you, Lady Master. This was fun.
Thank you, Holly. It's very exciting what's coming up. Reverend Dale, hi.
Greetings, blessings to all my brothers and sisters, Char, Rama, and Beth. How are you this afternoon?
Very good to hear from you.
Wonderful. Much aloha.
It's a beautiful day. I want to jump on Big Will's question, and it took me a while to find the number, so I'm sorry that I got backtracked by one person, but to just go back to what Will had mentioned, I was really happy, you know, regarding the 0-point nanowand, even though there's, you know, a myriad of information available on the Internet, I thought it was refreshing that, you know, Will and myself would ask Rama and Tara and Beth regarding what they feel, how they feel this works. And I was really, this is actually a twofold, like, statement and a question too, regarding the nanos, the nanites. Rama, did you indicate that the nanos in the wand actually have the potential of becoming conscious?
Yes. I concur, sir.
I think how it works is it has to do with Mother's energy, which is already really right for the planet to use. And so this tool being passed into our hands right now, in other words, unless you really have some place to start with an energy technology, you don't introduce it into society until there's enough of us that can. And not only that, I only have one experience through a vicarious story that my son, he took it to this man, and he was homeless, and he was going to have a surgery where they were going to have to cut off his foot and his stuff for, you know, the gangrene stuff setting in. And it was from a disease that he got when he was over there somewhere as a vet, you know.
And it healed his foot.
And they were going to go do it in a week or something. And he started, and it started to heal, and nothing at all was working. And within a month, after years of this suffering and then deciding to go and get the surgery, within a week before that, this energy started the healing process enough for him to waive going into surgery, and by the end of the month, it wasn't even there anymore. I mean, that's another level. That means we're getting interdimensional overlays. We're actually ready for that, which, you know, as a person would believe, well, that really does make a difference when a
interject, that seems to be the key point. I receive hundreds of emails on testimonies regarding this because my fellowship has been experimenting with them and distributing them for the last couple months. And that seems to be the bottom line, that a person has to believe in its healing, because mm-hmm. it does remind the cells to move back to their original and perfect state of creation. It restores the natural harmony of the body, thus aiding in natural healing. But the biggest factor is having the faith, having the faith, and there's actually even some mantras and some prayers that can accompany it, from short ones to very extensive ones. But nonetheless, I've had some amazing experiences myself with the cancer surgery I've gone through and some of the other back problems. Both myself and Yana have felt 50 to 70 to 80% recovery in those areas. It's just magical.
Right. This is what I was saying when Ahalya was talking about it. I was saying that a person has to believe that the healing will work for it to work. You know, other modalities work the same way. For example, I've seen people healing things in a piecemeal fashion, trying to remove programming. And I was always taught to bypass that kind of healing because the programming comes back. And the Omega Wand is having people return their bodies to the healthy state because it is, once they believe it will work, and that's why these hundreds of emails are great, because everybody keeps telling each other it works.
Regarding what you just said, Beth, the Omega Wand, that's a key point there. Omega is simply a distributor.
My experience with natural healing is only reason people are sick is because they believe they should be sick.
Like with anything else, of course. You have to.
I know, it's way too simple, but it's really the truth. It's really the truth. Mm. The only reason we age is because we believe we should age.
Well, there was also people who didn't believe in these healings, and they experienced it anyway. There's a YouTube video circulating. It's literally a 2 or 3 minute video of an 80-year-old woman who could never lift her left arm without intense pain. It literally couldn't come up more than 2 inches off the chair. And while they're filming, this practitioner is wanding her arm, and she burst into tears of joy and exaltation because she lifted her arm over her head for the first time in 40 years. But she was skeptical going in. She goes, I don't know about this. But nonetheless, she experienced some miraculous healing. And one of the key things is there's been discrepancy regarding the Amiga distributor. Amiga simply is a distributor. My delightful friend goes directly to the manufacturer, and therefore we're able to distribute these for half the price of what Amiga is selling them for. And some of the other companies, they were in Singapore for the last 3 years, experiencing great success at 300 and 400 each. And now they've come to the West and are being circulated, and we're experiencing so many healings through this modality. It's just incredible. That's why I wanted to ask Rama about the actual truth about the nanos, because this is basically, it's comprised, they use 4,000 degrees heat to fuse, or the word is amide, A-M-I-Z-E-D, fusion, to create a fusion between these sacred and precious crystals and minerals, which, you know, there's a lot of testimonies here, but they go, each mineral and each crystal does certain things. And, you know, I'm just floored to hear that this might be something that creates living consciousness.
It is so. And these nanites work in cooperation with the 22 amino acids and the 144,000 frequencies of light that the cells, the particles, what's happening on a global scale as we are moving through the photon belt, everything is moving to zero point, and, you know, what's happening is everything is being uplifted to 13 hertz, so it's moving quicker and quicker to the speed of light. And, you know, you look at the clock and it's 2:28, and, you know, the next minute you look at it and it's 5:28, and where did all that time go?
That's true. The ever-present now doesn't really relate to time in any way.
Reverend Dale.
The last thing I wanted to mention was we're offering free healings. This actually works through phone healings with someone who's open. And I've experienced them, and we're just, if anybody wants to find out for themselves, I just wanted to offer, you know, my number and you know, the time to do a healing. It's with your body or with relationships, consciousness, but it works most well with the physicalities, as well as it restores and energizes food and water. You can nano wand some water and have it return to it's, you know, like the zero point, its original state, the pH balance of, like, say, Kagan water. There's many different uses for it, but I just was interested in your input on it, and I wanted to thank you. So if anybody's interested, they can get my number from Tara and Rama. Or my email address.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to tell you something, Reverend Dale. I wanted to say that when you're working with folks, you can tell them that everybody having perfect health is what's coming now. All of the technology is returning, and this is the beginning of it.
That's what I sense. That's why there's so much. We have so much excitement and enthusiasm raised around this physical product. But this is just a physical manifestation of what we are actually moving into, and which we'll be able to facilitate with our hands and our presence, which is moving out of the mind to the heart chakra. Because if we're all one, and our intention is to heal each other and the planet, and this whole evolution, then the magic is just there. This is just an out-picturing of it, a tool, an out-picturing of what we're moving exponentially into as a whole society. So I wanted to thank you, and I pass the talking stick.
Thank you.
I'll just say that what is being asked of all of us is to imagine the impossible, improbable. That's what is being said on the highest levels.
Because anything that you can imagine is real.
Yeah.
In terms of being aligned with the power of a positive thought.
Yes.
And literally, that's the strength that we have as a people. In other words, the power in the people is the power of their strength in believing in the magic. And boy, oh boy, you know, magic occurs as that grows, that energy grows. And as we give it away, and I really honor you that you're actually having so much fun with this energy technology that you want to just have everybody play and give it away and get well. I think that's a great idea.
Angel Sue is online too.
Yoo-hoo, hi, I'm here. Are you there?
Yes.
This has been fascinating. And I'd like to propose some add-ons to the Omega Wands out there. They do not carry the monoatomic energy. You know, through Beth and Mark and all of the energy work we've been doing and the upgrades we've been receiving as we go up on the ships, we're calibrated, those people on the these calls. We're calibrated a little differently. And the monoatomic gold powders, especially the white and the pink ones, are so beneficial at this time. So I've been working with the wand. I've done add-ons to it. And you might find this interesting, that just potentizing, even if you take a picture of, for instance, some of the cups of light that are on Dr. Carla's website or some of her monoatomic gold pictures, and you might want to just sit down and do our, in the light of the most radiant one and in the office of the Christ and only in the office of the Christ. Invoke the loving energies of Saint Germain and the violet flame and ask to have a coning, C-O-N-I-N-G, coning of healing to put add-ons into your wand. So invite those energies of the healing fragrances, the Sanjeevanis, and that's S as in Sam, A, N as in Nancy, J, E, E, V as in victory, I, N as in Nancy, I, Sanjeevani.
What's that?
They will make things happen and potentize your wands. Invite, besides the monoatomic gold, invite the phantom crystal energy. There's all sorts of things. We've been putting the wand energy into chopsticks that you pick up from the Oriental stores or from the, oh gosh, the restaurants, the Chinese restaurants.
That's fun.
And that is alleviating a lot of pain as well.
Besides our regular.
So for those, if you want to grab a pencil and you haven't got a wand, I've got a rate to share. So, it's for the wand. If you want to just, it should be something that you're putting into that's a natural substance.
No.
Yeah, no plastic things. Hi, my mama. So, the number rate is kind of different. It's got 12 different places in it. The number is 167, then put a period. The alphabet letter O, and then a 1, period. 67, the letter E, 82. I'll give that again for to potentize energy, for instance, into a chopstick. If you're lacking the funds at the moment, or if you just want to experiment, 167, period. The letter O, 1, period. 67, E, 82. And if you're a person like me who doesn't fit the normal, I always have to keep amping things up. take it times 9, take it times 114. Just test and see where you need to take it up to. We've had some really good benefits from this. So I want to pass this along. Amp your wands up, pull in the energies, or just invite them, you know, in the office of the Christ for a coning of healing. Invite the monoatomic gold powders of white and pink. Invite the divine grace light if you wish. You can just amp these so high, but the phantom crystal and the crystal network really is the icing on the cake with this. And, of course, always put in that law of one for the highest good of all concerned. Any questions out there, Tara, Rama, Beth?
Angel Sue, I think that's amazing. It's fantastic work you're doing. It's so nice to see everybody really getting into owning their healing.
This is what Mark and you and Tara and Rama and Marita Robert have been teaching us all along. And if you want to throw in Cynthia's Slosher's mantra, I am the divine infant, ever young, ever beautiful, ever perfect. That doesn't hurt a thing either.
Amen.
I am the divine infant, ever young, ever beautiful, ever perfect. So there's no limitation. You can keep amping it up and putting more add-ons as it comes to you, and you'll have your inspiration. So I'm done.
Well, thank you, Angel Sue.
That was great.
Sage.
The best things in life are free. Lady Master Sage, you're on line B1, I believe.
Greetings, my sister and brother and everyone else.
Greetings.
I just had to add my 2 cents about the wands. I'm just a plain Jane trying to be an angel. I was led, I guess about 3-4 weeks ago, to look into the wands. And I don't know. I just, on the spur of the moment, I asked if I could get a good price if I purchased more than one. Well, to make a long story short, I ordered 5 and got the 5 for less than $400 and some dollars. $450 maybe. I gave one to my daughter, who's 48, who wanted to share it. She had a lot of positive experiences with it. I won't go into it now, and so have I. But she took it to her friend, who has been very depressed. Had no desire to get well. She had a stroke about a year ago. Her husband has had kidney surgery. I think he has one of his daughter's kidneys. So they've had a lot of problems, and financial and physical and spiritual. But she took the wand over to her, and she worked the wand over her. She still could not use her left arm at all, and she worked over her arm for about 5 minutes or so, and then she gave her the wand, and she said, "See if you can raise your arm," and everybody was blown away, straight up, no hesitation at all. It shocked her as well. Well, she hadn't been able to do anything. She was having home health aides, and, you know, she couldn't clean or anything, but she cleaned all night long. She and her husband now are up and at it. I want to introduce her husband to the PXP, which I've been taking. I highly recommend it. It may seem expensive, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter told me I'll be 77 years old on April the 15th. Mm-hmm. And my daughter tells me she's jealous because I'm looking and walking like a young thing. So, there's my testimony.
Tell her I
believe.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you, Sadie,
pardon me?
So much. I said, tell your daughter I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're in for a swinging time now.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Pardon me?
Just thank you
yes.
for your energy. Thank you for sharing. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. Peace.
Peace and love.
Penny on line one.
Hi.
Hi,
Alberta. Yesterday, Len and I were watching Gilbert and Sullivan's Isle Amphi, and this is going. I'm going back to magic here, and as we were watching, we were thinking very much about angels and everything that's going on in the Senate and the House of Congress in the States. Are you guys familiar with Gilbert and Sullivan?
Yeah.
A little bit or a lot or?
A little bit.
A little bit. Well, Gilbert and Sullivan, I think the plays were being put on in the late 1800s. And I guess really what it is about is that there were people out there talking about magic and talking about what's wrong with society for a long, long time. But these Gilbert and Sullivan musicals are just a riot, you know, and they're so pointed, like they were talking about the House of Lords and how ineffective the Lords were, and there were some wonderful, wonderful scenes of the Lords being drunk and being arrogant and being everything that hoity-toity people are. And how the son of the fairy son, who was a fairy from his top half and human from his bottom half, on his bottom half, it was just a riot, and he wanted to institute an educational component for people going into the peerage, right? They couldn't be a peer unless they passed a certain educational exam, and of course, some of it, I could hear the whole story that's been going on with our friends on the other side of the aisle. I mean, here it is, what, 100 years or so, and it's so relevant what those guys are saying. And at the end of the story, because the peers realized that they were no longer useful in the government in Great Britain, they all became fairies, like the fairies. The women, you know, who were all fairies. And what was so interesting about was we watched the parade of the peers into the Red Chamber, and they couldn't walk because they were drunk, and or they could trip over their feet because their noses were so high in the air and all this kind of stuff. And the fairies, led by the Queen of Fairies, walked into the Red Chamber as well. If you can imagine that kind of thing being played on the stage in Victorian England in front of the Queen, who just loved it, but it was such a takeoff on what was going on at the time, and it is still so very, very relevant to what's happening right now. But the idea that we were watching something and there were fairies being portrayed in the play, and they were dancing, they were actually the ballet dancers who came in and so on, and the singing was patched in from behind, it was just a riot. You might not think that it has any relevance to today, but the words that they were singing and the situation that they were portraying is it's exactly what's going on in anybody's government system, whether it's Canadian or British or American. It's just really a riot. I recommend it just for a laugh.
It's true. It's the same thing that's going on back then as going on today.
Absolutely, only it's much worse now.
Yes.
But Sullivan, Sullivan actually was a classically trained musician. He was trained by Mendelssohn, of all things. And Gilbert was the one who mostly wrote the scores. And they are absolutely brilliant, just brilliant. And you're right, Beth. It's everything that's going on then is going on now, only it's degenerated. But they saw it then. They saw it then. And the idea that he would use magic and he would use therapy, would use something that was so improbable to poke such fun, is it's the way you get things done, right? By humor. It's one of the ways. And you can see where, we could see where Monty Python and all that line of English humor came from, and how it's influenced the lines of humor that's going on in today's world. It's very instructive as well as hilarious. So if anybody gets a chance to watch it, it's just funny, and it's
very
beautifully executed, you know, for the singers, and some of the way that the setting was portrayed, the Queen of Fairies opened a book, and when the book opened, up popped the trees and up popped everything, just, you know, to go back to Anastasia and the children and children's pop-up books. There were so many things integrated into this presentation, and it was done in 1982, so it was 100 years after it had been originally produced. So anyhow, I just have to say that magic has been afoot for a long, long time, and is actually being very actively referred to by well-known musicians and actors of the day, and their comments are no less important now than they were then. And the other thing I want to say to you is that I've talked to Tara and Rama a bit about Rosicrucianism, and one of the people that we know that was very highly placed in the Rosicrucian organization in England had one of the members of their executive was in the Houses of Parliament. And he talked about the program Yes Minister. Have you seen that one, the TV program?
I haven't.
It's again, biting satire in the best English fashion. And Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister at the time permission was sought to have this program produced. And if you watch it, it's a half-hour program. Every week we followed it faithfully because it was scathing and extremely funny and did nothing but point up the incompetence and unwillingness to change of many of the people in government. Well, apparently, you know, Thatcher allowed it to go on because, you know, she wanted it. It was like putting it right in people's faces of what was actually going on. And people thought it couldn't happen, but that's in fact the way it really, really was.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty scathing stuff too. It's extremely funny, but when you sit back and look at it, it's talking about the incompetence in government that's been going on forever, and the way people will work to keep the cover on, keep the matrix going, as it says. You know, of course, we know it's all coming down now, but there's been all kinds of things that have been written in the artistic field that have been pointing these things out, but you just think it's a comedy. Or you just think it's, well, yeah, you mostly just think it's comedy, and you don't pay attention, right? It's just funny, and you get your weekly hit, but it's actually quite true. So I just wanted to pass that on more as an observation than anything else, that all these lines of things have been going on for a long time but have been relegated to the sidelines. And we were really quite struck last night when we saw the fairies and so on and how it was cleverly done, and is just, sounds just like the Senate and the Congress in the States, or even in England too. So anyway, that's all. I just wanted to pass that on because we thought of you guys so much last night when we were watching it.
Thank you.
Penny, thank you a whole lot, because you know that's the way we were taught. I mean, in every esoteric study is to use creativity to the highest good of mystery school understanding to come into place. And oh my gosh, I mean, 40% of the people right now to this day get their news from Jon Stewart.
Instead of watching Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely astounding. I mean, he should get a couple awards for some of the ways he got the ideas across. Unbelievable. Did you see that one where he was down on all fours with Bert?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been going on, and we just don't pay attention. But anyway, we are now. And that's
right.
Really all I wanted to say.
Thank you so much, Penny.
And
okay,
you know, thanks, guys.
Saint Germain did it too, Penny. I mean, 400 years ago. Shakespearean plays. Well, I mean, he did it. He absolutely changed the English language into something that was completely what it wasn't before that. I'll just put it that way. It was elevated to a Renaissance vibration, I guess is what I would say. Yeah. We got some more folks in here.
Joanne on line one.
Joanne? No, Penny on line one.
No, Penny just left.
Oh, Penny, right. Joanne on line B1. Joanne, we can't hear you. I sort of hear something like you might think you were talking to us, but... Okay, everybody, it's time to give the number again, 415-762-1161. Call back, Joanne, if you would like. I was just looking at a couple of things. I don't know what I'm just saying. Oh, yes, we should talk about the 777 and the Count of Saint Germain. And I know that the feeling right now that I'm going through in terms of the work we're doing on the spiritual level is something else. I would like a little round table about it, because working the spiritual energies with the 777 LGN prosperity consciously to be a matching, what do you call that when it's a matching spread, or what I can say, is that the interface of all these exciting things, like what we're talked about here about zero-point gravity. Well, we've been talking about zero-point modules, literally physical objects, that our government got a hold of when they went over there and took the whole museum apart.
ZPM.
Oh,
those
my
are
God.
What powers the ziggurats and the stargates, and to this day, still don't know how to get things running.
You know, they've been using money with power, and the power that they really want is the power that's in an object, which requires that you pass your tests in terms of how you get to have access to an object with nano intelligence. And so the power of the object itself to heal you, I think, is the belief in the magic that you have, that you can heal yourself.
Well, I do believe in fairies.
Uh-huh. And you just, you take the wand and you just take your own magic energy and channel it right through mm-hmm. your body.
Joanne is back on line A1.
I'm with you, Dal.
Hi, Joanne.
Can you hear me? Hi. I had something really interesting. I have a wooden back scratcher, and I held it, and I recited the numbers that Angel Sue gave. And then I invited the energy of the Office of the Christ, only in the Office of the Christ, and the mononymonic gold and the law of one, for we are all one, that the energy of healing come into that back scratcher. It would be my healing wand. You know, I can't believe this, but I have had such terrible back pain all day, and I attribute it to ascension changes.
that it's been really bad. I took that back scratcher and waved it around me. I have no pain.
Very, very good. Thank you, Angel Sue.
And I'm
thank you for telling that. That is so marvelous. Because I can't believe how I was in such pain. Ah, and it's gone.
You know,
so
I'm
we do have the power.
You might have to think about that.
Marita, we need you to be louder, Marita, Robert.
Okay, I said she might want to look at her language. She keeps saying, I can't believe it, I can't believe it, and we've just talked about how important the belief part is.
Yes.
I understand that. Yes, I changed that train of thought, that's for sure. I do believe it.
Very good. It's wonderful. I'm glad you did that. Thank you for letting us know.
Yes, we did.
Well, thank you.
I have no doubt.
No doubts, and thanks to Angel Sue.
Wow.
Love you all. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Thank you. We are really stirring the pot today. The magic is flowing. Oh, so we are growing in that magic of this way we're sharing, and this is what is bringing us into what Count Saint Germain was doing and teaching. That was a time right after, actually he hung around for hundreds of years, after they said he just died in 1626. And he did not. And he showed up in all parts of the earth, as the most significant one regarding the flow of his teachings. It came in at the time, here we're talking 1784, and I'm just thinking about our Constitution was 1789, right? Yes, and then 1776, and then the...
It's 3 o'clock.
It's 3 o'clock. And then the interface of the Iroquois Confederation. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we have one person waiting.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Brian, hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, how are you?
Pretty good. How can you guys all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. My question to you, to all of you, is toward the South Pole and toward the inner Earth, there is a city called Rainbow City. Have you guys heard of that?
Yes.
Hmm.
What exactly is that, and how was it created?
I'll tell you that some of that in the South Pole, after the Orion Wars, some of the Saturnians and the Maldekians escaped from the interplanetary wars, and they went into the South Pole and met with some of the other intergalactic beings that were neither, you know, good nor bad, but just sort of on the fence. And this was right around the same time things started to shift between Pangaea to Lemuria to Atlantis. And at the same time, they were also being watched by the Watchers, who, I mean, as the Elohai, who are watching everything. And Rainbow City, is, as far as I understand it, Admiral Byrd tried to go find it, and he also went to the inner Earth city in the North Pole, and he went through the hole, and he may have met a Dhamma. And
oh yeah,
and they tried to discredit Admiral Byrd and many of the folks, but it's quite interesting that if you ask any pilot, why won't they fly directly over the North Pole instead of flying around the equator? It's because of the giant 1,000-mile-wide hole, which is the entrance to the inner Earth. And all you have to do is put your craft on autopilot and allow the magnetic frequencies to pull you in and relax, let go, and let Adama take care of the rest. And you might be having quite a good time for the next few thousand years, yet that story can't be told till it can be told. Brooks Agnew talks about this, who has a show on BBS Radio, Station 1, talking about the inner Earth. They are going to have an expedition to the inner Earth, and they will bring back some stuff to let the world know. And I'll just say, all of this is going on. I believe that the people down near the South Pole, there is a place called Lake Vostok, and Lake Vostok is an underground lake that is part of the inner Earth, and there are beings coming in that have been coming in since the 80s that have to do with the healing of this planet. And I'll just say it's all coming to a conclusion right now. This is why they can't hide this any longer. Rainbow City, I believe, is one of the good cities, yet I have never been there. Maybe I should go.
I mean, you know, in 1964, they promised not to be nasty with all the technology. And yet, you know, it was also a close call since 1933 when the deal was cut, you know, between Hitler and FDR.
And Stalin.
And Stalin. Oh, my God.
And Churchill.
And then declaring bankruptcy in the United States. In other words, actually going to a place where the people didn't live and calling it their own. And that meant the Republic was already completely disenfranchised in any way, shape, or form. We're absolutely declassified. I don't even know what there was other than their own that was supposed to survive this. And that was the stakes. It was empire, as Arundhati Roy said, versus we the people of the world. We had to really come to that common ground where they were using everything that humanity represented as a natural resource. And yet that's polarity, isn't it? It's a misplaced vision of it. It would be good now that we see how polarity can come into a balance.
Oh, Brooks Agnew is on Station 2 in about 3 hours, Dawn says.
Brooks Agnew.
Talking about
good.
The
I wanted to thank all of you. And much love and light to all of you. And I pass the walking stick. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Marianne on B1.
Mom and Tara. I got one comment for the wand. You know, why can't we just be the wand? Why can't we just match our energy with zero point and do that every day to build that up and then just be the wand?
We can, Marianne. That's what galactic self-healing is.
Okay.
There's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different ways to get there, and the whole point is the person receiving the healing has to believe in whatever modality they're using. You can also get there, you know, a dozen other different ways. And so that the wand is available to folks, and they're telling each other, it works, and they're getting these healings. It's great.
Okay.
They're not, they're not wanting to tune in to doing it the other ways, and that's fine.
I got it.
And you're right, it does work.
And you know what? It also, I just wanted to make another comment. It also helps to realize that what we're doing, too, is we are having an exchange. We are reciprocal beings. So here's a tool where what's really being focused with the tool is healing, and there's reciprocation and communication. This is a good way to bring something into another space as well. And it actually triggered in this conversation for all of us that Angel Sue basically is manifested what you were just saying in a very creative way. How can we use the knowledge that we have from all of the useful tools that I have in my magic bag? And this is one I have, and it concludes this formulation of brew. And I'm not kidding, we're doing Wicca magic. And we just had a Wiki leak. Let's do some Wicca magic on such things as such thought forms going unaccounted for. And that's what I think Barack Obama's up to right now, too, by the way. Because when we get the true value of who we are, so a tool like that, the true value is circulation. It's reciprocation. It's in giving that we receive. And again, it's also reciprocation in the circle of the oneness of the being themselves, where they can actually use the tool to focus their consciousness that they are the healer and the healed. That's quite a zero point. And that's what the module is. It's a zero point module in a wand. And we're actually using that energy, and the world then can use what they wish to use right now as a means basically for their own escape. Namaste, Marianne. But to be held accountable right now is the key. And the zero point knowledge and use there of it also takes the person through that too, that emotion of doing something. That same thing with Lloyd Muir, doing those numbers. Tom, our dear brother Tom Davenport, he's working with Lloyd Muir, and he decided to bypass having the surgery because he had this experience that he was able to have with doing the numbers. And it's extended till June. They're going to see yet. In other words, the person got to make a decision with help. There's the reciprocation again, reciprocalness of what we're doing when we come together. This. Thank you so much, everyone. I just love it. And I do believe that we have someone else, don't we? Or do we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Alan, hi.
Yes. Alan, on
V1. Oh, hello,
hello.
You're waking up a little bit. Am I on now?
Yes.
You're on.
You are on.
Hello, hello, everybody. Good to hear from you folks. It's a beautiful day. And, I don't know if you are able to address this, a while back, as you may be aware, there's two different Wingmaker little places to go to, and all this thing about energy signatures, this guy James came in and twisted some stuff, and but that's when I learned about what Beth calls the AICO, King of Swords. Now, the original post, which they morphed it into Dr. Neruda, they were describing this guy in this position up there in the they call it ACIO, Advanced Contact Intelligence Organization, Labyrinth Group and NSA, and I got the history and stuff like that too. And when I heard you folks talk about KOS 38 levels, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is where I first learned about it, and it just connected to a deeper level later. But, you know, I think you folks are aware of a lot of the stuff and a lot of the history. It's pretty awesome stuff going way back. And but as an adjoiner to this, the subject of timelines. Now, one of the things on top of this I wanted to ask is Mother Sekhmet comes from our future, and the whole thing about timelines being erased and people coming in and perverting timelines, I don't know if this is an appropriate question, but have a lot of different realities actually played out, and has in a certain timeline, old-fashioned Armageddon, did it actually happen on another timeline? But they're coming in and they're erasing stuff and morphing stuff. Oh, heck. You know, but you kind of get a feel of what I'm trying to say. I pass the talking stick and thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
I'll just say my understanding about, I think that the Wingmakers website got compromised with that guy James, and I don't know anything about him. And I'll just say,
you know, with that being said, you're saying you don't know anything about him. Have you ever asked?
I have, and my understanding about it is that I'll just say that there are levels within levels, and I haven't been.
When the student is ready, the teacher is arriving in terms of how much can one take about what's really been going on. How many layers of reality are going on all at once and nothing at all in this story? And I'll just say Jesse Ventura helped us in a very real walk. What was the channel? He was
CNN.
I'm talking about when he was coming on and doing those hour-long investigations.
Oh, True TV.
Yeah,
TRU.
TV,
it's a cable and satellite network channel.
Yes, and he was just saying, let's just take a little walk underneath the airport here and see what interdimensional realities are going on all at once. So you're seeing between worlds when you start asking questions like that.
And
it's all going on, and it's always been going on. And the level of which our awareness as a collective can actually do two things at once and nothing at all. Because what are we really doing? It's like we're sweeping in front of us. When you walk through a jungle, I remember doing this in Golfito out in the peninsula, you're way south. You're Costa Rica. And if you look on the Pacific there, you get the feeling that you're in the Pacific Ring of Fire, and you're in the jungle, and you go before you, like, just opening the pathway with a machete and making sure you don't step on something that doesn't like what you're doing. And I'm just saying, in that sense, you're clearing the way, and you're also bringing another thing, right, like wings behind you, and the whole scene changes. The garden is back. That is how fast that wand, we're getting experience in being mother.
Yeah.
Being the nurturing force, being in the flow. And then that brings me to the 777 again.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I just want to finish this up 1 second. I've been waiting all day for what you're going to say about that. I don't want to sit down, but Rama, I was just going to ask you if you were going to say more about the Wingmaker ships.
I just wanted to say that my understanding is that the Wingmakers are here. They are changing the timelines, and the ones and the timelines are being shifted back to one of peace rather than one of war. And the story of Revelations, I've heard some stories that may have been in ancient already happened, yet the understanding about it is also is the crazy right-wing religious folks that Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee, to the likes of Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and others want to play this out right now in Israel, between the rest of the world. And there are some members of the 13 families that like passion plays and dramas, and they're trying to do it. And they got the means and the power to do it, yet mothers canceled it for them, and they are very worried. Their schemes are about to be revealed, and this ties in with how the Pope is ignoring to this day His Unholiness, talking about the pedophilia that goes on to this hour that has not been dealt with, which are international genocide war crimes.
That's right.
And it's tied in also with the military that is embedded across this planet, with the corporations that keep the media alive. If it bleeds, it leads.
Mm.
Rather than a story about, let's say, Buddha, or the healing of the Omega Wand, or a story about spontaneous manifestation of Lord Maitreya or Kuan Yin showing up.
And or of the immortality of all of the immortal ones, which we all are in our original blueprint. We designed this form.
Ashtar showed up.
Immortality.
Ashtar showed up to Gorbachev and said, it is time to get over the nuke issue. And Ronald Reagan was at that time. And this is why the wall came down, besides all the games going on with the Rupel. And, I mean, I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I'm just trying to say these folks are intervening in our civilization's development because we asked right now. Yeah, and the stories that are going on across the planet, Tom Hartman is one of the major whistleblowers in this way, along with Randy Rhodes, Rachel Meadows, how to change it to one of positivity, to one of negativity. Tell positive spin. There is a show on Free Speech TV called Positive Spin, telling about the stories that are, you know, the good that is going on that gets overlooked by the mainstream media every single day, about simple joys that are holy. I pass the talking stick.
It's about balance. It's all about balance. And monetarily, too. We really got out of balance. What we did is we did really bad things out of greed and power mongering around, and fighting amongst family and so-called friends. And, you know, it was a stage of evolution, all right. And what I was getting over this weekend, and it's been lay down time, you know, it's like they are working on a very, very intensive, complete breakthrough onto the stage in a smooth and very consistent way. And yeah, this is economic high treason. So the use of our treasury and all the treasure, that means all the value that
the wisdom.
And the wisdom. That's right. The treasure is in the wisdom. And it has, we turned into a society where we were void, of course.
Yeah.
There's, and in a sense,
we got lost in the samsara, the maya.
The recognition that void is now come to a space of reality checking that, in a sense, imposes the requirement to make a decisive and intelligent move
within a moment where it's one final moment collectively. And we've been doing it more than once. We've been doing baby steps of it collectively. And we're starting to see a collective result. We're getting all kinds of people calling. So go ahead.
Seth, oh, you're calling Beth. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm back.
We're okay.
Did you guys call Lynn?
Lynn, on line two.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn.
Hey, guys. It's a joy to share with you guys again this afternoon. I just have a brief question. With everyone talking about the timelines, I was sharing briefly with a friend of mine, Dr. Norma Milanovic, and we just had a few words that we were sharing last week, and the topic came up that, according to her guidance, she's getting that there's going to be some type of major earth movement, perhaps, because energies seem to be a bit dense, not quite a pole shift, but she's not sure how that's coming up in her intuitive hits with her guidance. I'm just going to ask, what do you guys get?
Well, there are some. We had a discussion about this the other day. Rama's going to go print it out.
I probably missed that. I'm sorry.
There are definitely some seismic rumblings of the likes of which hasn't been seen before, mapped out at the course that we're. The course correction is absolute in terms of the necessity of galactic interventions in a very large way, and it is being prepared for. And lest a child on a galactic tour of heaven on earth be wiped out in terms of their ability to take it all at once, there is a gradual leveraging in, yet very much without any deviations anymore. The reins have been pulled very taut on the horse. And magic, you know, it's a magical thing where the horse transforms into a unicorn or something. I'm just saying that it's that great of a change. Ashtar and Mother and Saint Germain, you know, between let's dance and, you know, it's time for sex date and it's over. Just hang in there for a moment. Everybody's getting it.
Well, it sounds awesome. Thank you guys for sharing. Thanks for your kind words. And it's just so fun to be with you guys.
Thank you so much.
Talking sick. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Much ado about earth changes is got to do with much ado about changes that are in the spiritual realms, rebalancing what the earth would be doing without that, or without our cooperation. And so the rules of the road have really changed in terms of the requirements before we understand that there is a shift in the wind and the road and the rules of the road that we're now upon are about understanding where and why mathematically even and the principles of our civilization and the philosophy of law of the ancient time of the, and I do want to say, and Beth, I didn't bring this up until now. Although Granddoddess Lily got together with another goddess being, I don't remember her full name, but they put a body of work together that they're going to take to the summit. In,
oh, cool.
And this is interesting.
That's sweet.
And what it's about is, let me see if I... It's about creating a, at the UN, another UN entry that the Moabite nation / Moorish nation is a universal nation that is above all other nations on earth as it is in heaven. Which is about the travelings and the writings and the teachings of the law of the motherland. This is being brought back to the earth plane, everyone. And the work of what we're talking about here. And, you know, we were talking just briefly about the great man as a part of the ancient cultural history and heritage of man, in the depiction of an unclothed man standing upright and facing forward with the ancient glyphs of all 12 signs of the zodiac surrounding the perimeter of his body, each sign pointing to a part of the anatomical structure. The zodiacal glyphs from Aries to Pisces are assigned to different anatomical parts of the body with descriptions, and we're talking about, this is in our skies right now, of influences, nuances, and other nature-oriented and planetary potential relationships. The zodiac sign placements, the planetary movements with their push and pull forces, and influences upon everything in the collective universe, has always been a central social and political navigational tool for the Moabite Moors. And so the physical anatomy or makeup of man and her tendencies and nature is relative. And that M is a capital and that H is a capital. This is really important. We are brides. No matter what it appears gender-wise, we are brides of Christ, of the energy, of the office of the Christ. Our bodies are temples of that office of the Christ. So the actions with the understanding of what was just said is how we move through this world. It is relative to the spiritual anatomy of man and her tendencies and nature accordingly in due course. One is to know and to recognize that the ancient Moabite Moor thought and think inclusive of these abstract to physical forms in all science, intersocial relationships, and civil law governance. When studying, analyzing, and considering the unanimous Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution for the United States of America, and her constitutionally confirmed and established Republican form of government, know also of the primal Moabite Moorish influence. This will reveal to you the Masonic cultural and mental mindset of key members among the persons known as the founding fathers for the United States of America, and the nature and character of their precept thought processes by way of profound ancient philosophies. These insightful men preserved those ancient civilization principles, which were wisely woven within the fabric of these documents, right law, scripts. This infusion of ancient principles was done in an atmosphere of intrigue and in the face of continuous opposition. I just pulled a piece of that. I would love to go on. I want to say that the fabric now of our new step into setting down an economy on the basis that we know that this law of Zodiacus is becoming in the process together with Grand Goddess Lily and the teachings in these books I'm reading from and Lord Jamal is speaking of, there's writings in here on our, these indeed important pieces to the puzzle we have not put together as to what Nisara is either. And this prosperity process, aside from the idea of telling us that now we decided to drop it into your midst, the king is talking. And Beth and Tara and Rama, how long have we been dancing since December? And Marky is working from that place where he is. Yet, okay, we've been working together for at least a year before that. So we're a year and a half solid, 18 months solid on our way to full completion and into 2011. And yet and still 2012 it is now, so that means we're actually doing this. You can see how the gap is closing when we do this together. We're actually in 2013 in 2011. So everything has come up to a conclusiveness where what went on before now with full comprehension is walking with us. There's a piece here, Pastor Weems, a writer, Pastor Weems, and George Washington on George Washington, like many of his contemporaries, was also influenced by the, Pastor Weems was influenced by the social and political times. It was a well-known fact that George Washington was being coached and primed to accept the guaranteed seat to the Office of Supreme Authority, and that's a capital S and a capital A, called the Presidency for the United States Republic, North America. As I said, the reference to a guaranteed seat is alluding to Benjamin Franklin, Minister Plenipotentiary, assured this position. So Benjamin Franklin assured the position. Oh, my goodness. Franklin, along with James Adams and Thomas Jefferson, were delegated ministers plenipotentiary in the years 1784 to 1787 to represent the United States in the matters concerning the structuring of the Treaty of Peace and Friendship. 1787, between, quote, His Imperial, E-M-P-E-R-I-A-L, Majesty Sultan Mohammed Ibn, capital I-B-N, Abdullah, capital A-B-D-U-L-L-A-H, of Morocco, and, quote, unquote, the United States. All three ministers, plenipotentiary, Adams, Jefferson, and Franklin, were positioned to become praetors or presidents, P-R-A-E-T-O-R-S, or presidents, for the United States Republic, the one which none of us have been living in most recently since 1933, nor ever, really, because of the facade until it's brought up and disclosed. It's underneath those vaults are the things that have been undisclosed, just like Nisara has yet to be enacted, which is full disclosure of Nisara. And that includes galactic presence as a simulcast, everyone. That means we've all along been knowing that Nisara and the galactic engagement in terms of enacting it before the people, that
that's the truth all along, that we are one and that we've always been here, that would mean that we would have to be responsible for making ready for them to come in peace. So now I think, you know, we all can see that people that didn't pay attention or paying attention because it's affecting everyone in a way where they're seeing that they really want peace. And we continue to heal, and all the magic is coming back. So, the praetors for the United States Republic, with major political influence and cultivation, infused by the powerful Moors of the pre-existing dissolving government, they were positioned to become here. During this period of time, however, Benjamin Franklin was ill and respectfully submitted that he could not, with high standard, hold the presidential seat. George Washington, an army general, was encouraged and tutored by Benjamin Franklin and Emmanuel Mu'ali Ben Bay, Benjamin Banneker, to present himself for standing in Benjamin Franklin's guaranteed and fixed political position. Now, I want you to know that we learned a lot about Benjamin Banneker from a Moorish video that we played. Rama, do you remember the name of that? It was about Benjamin Banneker. Well, we're reading it here.
All about the Moors.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. These three ministers, plenipotentiary and the substituting George Washington, were all master masons. Oh, boy. In all public meetings, the three ministers, plenipotentiary, as well as George Washington, would display the continental flag along with the stars and stripes, the star-spangled banner. The continental flag has a red field with a green cedar tree, capital C, capital T, displayed in a white canton. The continental flag is also called the treaty flag. As a note, whoa, a treaty flag. They have misused and abused that all over the world. As a note and reminder to all who may have been misled, miseducated, or tricked by reconstructed history and historians, let it be clear that our land is a Mexum slash all, A-L, Moroc, M-O-R-O-C slash American. And the peoples are Moors, capital M. Some of the brand appellations or names we have been called are Negroes, Blacks, Indians, West Indians, Latinos, etc. Let it be known with qualification also that India and Indians are in and on the continent, which is called Asia. India and Indian are modern names attributed to Hinduistan, Hindustan, and Hindustani. Moors also dwelled in Hindustan. However, they and we are not Indians, and there is no such truth to the European coined terms American Indians nor African Americans. We Moors are ancient dwellers to and of this land America, and also to Asia and Africa. In the year 1781, the United States Republic received its charter. In the month April of the year 1789, George Washington was elected to the presidential palace after the administration of President Cyrus Griffin, and thus became the ninth president for the United States Republic of North America. The Constitution for the United States Republic was also officially adopted that same year in 1789. Thus, the transfer of political powers from the Moors to the European side of the nation was allegorically referred to overcoming the rigid resistance of the many Moorish regents, who, in contradiction to the support of Sultan Muhammad, did not want permanency of European political power established in the empire. This said, overcoming, or political victory as satire, was veiled in the phrase, quote, George Washington chopped down his uncle's cherry tree. The cherry tree is not in reference to a fruit tree, yet is an allegorical reference to the red and green national standard of the Moorish flag. Pastor Weems was not the only person using the foregoing politically motivated and satirical statement alluding to the cherry tree. Mm. North America is not the kingdom of Morocco. North America is the heart of the Moroccan Empire. And the pyramid, is the ancient national seal of the Moorish sovereigns. That's going along with that United Nations Ouachita Declaration of Moorish Sovereignty that we read the other day. Now, the United States Republic has a dual national seal. This is why the pyramid side of the seal is held in such high regard by those who know the secrets and the truth about the land called America, and of the fallen Moors. Logically, due to the slavery-eluding practice of stealing the birthrights of defeated Moors, the European-controlled school systems, including other respective institutions, were not and are not going to openly reveal the truth of the law and history, which brought about the political union we know of today as the United States Republic of North America. Social engineers are also not going to publicly reveal the reasons why the Great Seal, the pyramid, the pyramid side of the national seal, is not used as a symbol in the departments of government, offices by the Sons of Europe, who hold seats of government in the United States Republic. Moors, all Moroccans and Masons, however, are very clear on the ancient and modern meaning, authority, and placement of that same Great Seal Pyramid of the ancient Moabite Moors. Moabites and Moors are the same term. The chopping down of the cherry tree is implying the chopping down of the Moorish flag in the dark north corner of North America, specifically the Northeast Territories. Does the city Philadelphia stir up memories? Philadelphia is philadelphia stir up memories. How about 6th and Chestnut Streets and the year 1774? Sage knows all about this. As the purpose of many deceivers of law and history is to keep so-called black and Negro Masons and others buried and asleep, while feigning to raise them absent of the truth of their Moabite Moorish birthright connection, then they are carrying out their Roman Empire and European colonial conquest assignments. They have, for a long time, been very successful any natural people who lack a knowledge of themselves, of law and history, are easier to control. Under slavery systems and forced bureaucratic servitude, some say that the hoodwinking of and the ruffian attacks made against the defeated Moors allow for a defenseless and naive source for a secured Roman tithe or tax and monetary chattel base. The European instituted color games were constructed in the minds of the people to veil this area of birthright theft worldwide. This is why the colonial powers have maintained what has been known as segregation control and secrets over and about the defeated Moors, while branding and tagging them blacks, Negroes, coloreds, etc., and keeping them mentally in the dark. However, we are living in a new era of time, and the conscious Moors, enlightened to the truth of and about our nationality, our birthrights, and our land, Amexum/the Americas, Turtle Island, are our brothers' keepers. We must, by moral charge, ethical duty, allegiance, and destiny, expose to them and tell to them the truth of our and their civilization, law, and history. We are part and parcel. Thus, in spite of the ongoing deceptions, misrepresentations, diversions, suppression, secrecy, and fraud, we and the others of the civilized world will accomplish that goal. Where there may be doubt, calculate the times, the glyphs, capital G, the positions of the planets, the cause and effect, revelations of and about the Great Seal, Pyramid, and Isonomy. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Woo! This is what the summit is about, Beth and everybody. This is why Lady Master Grand Goddess Lily, and forgive me, the other Grand Goddess, wonderful being, wrote something together and are making this so that this will be entered right beside the Declaration, the UN Declaration, Washita Declaration of Moorish Sovereignty. This is already done. Think about it. These women, those men who joined with this reversal, and the way in which we are doing the presentations in the morning calls on Sundays, the honoring of the feminine is so up front, and it brings a balance to the heart, and it releases tears every time I experience this kind of energy that we're flowing through and in. And she's coming. She wants to bring this all together now with us. And she will be coming back. And Beth, did you not say that she's going to get back with you when she gets back about how she can come together with us and share some of this, eh?
Oh, yeah. I've been in contact with her by email. And I guess this conference starts on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, through Sunday.
Wednesday through Saturday?
Wednesday through Saturday.
And where is it going to be?
In Salt Lake City, Utah?
Wow.
And, you know, I just want to make a comment about that, because
You know, in 1981, Bush Sr. and Senator Orrin Hatch of Salt Lake City, Utah, stole the wealthy visionaries' $100 million note that they put in, you know, the ones who did the We Are the World thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they stole it, they held up what that money was supposed to be for back then. You know, do you remember about what that was supposed to be for? It was supposed to be for the children in Africa and India and all of the Southern Hemisphere children of color that have been abused by the Queen of England's own admission as to why she was the richest woman on earth. That means, you know, that means these wealthy visionaries from over here challenged the crown of the Red Queen of England by putting that $100 million note in there, rubbing side by side with all their $100 million notes of our money and our natural resources and our land and our labor and our bodies and hearts and souls. And isn't it interesting that this money-making machine in Wall Street is literally a desolation. What is that, Fatima? It's the crushing of the head of the serpent, Rama. It was in the Fatima, opening the seal of the Fatima letter, the last letter.
Yeah, it had to do with
the abominations of desolation. That is exactly what Wall Street right now is looking like and how the world reflects it back. And indeed, it has harmed everybody only to the extent that I believe that what we have done this moment right now. Oh, what is that about? New evidence implicates Henry Kissinger in an assassination case. This is what we have done. We have flushed this truth out into the open.
In Chile, having to do with 1976, Salvador Allende, it's time. In the sense, Salvador Allende was lawfully elected leader, and Henry Kissinger, Pinochet took him out. All the truth's coming out. Love them even more. Henry Kissinger looks like a very scared animal, but he is just a holodeck program.
So anyway, I wanted to just elaborate a little bit about the seventh seal and the 777. And I also want to elaborate on what the King of Swords said. He said, use this tool of the 777 prosperity, which is a cycling process rather than the accumulation of gold and money and power and you know, the, what do they call those Ponzi scheme, misqualified use of the energy, which it has absolutely no relationship whatsoever to. And use it to bring this philosophy that Saint Germain, remembering Saint Germain, also a Moabite Moor, his mother, his grandmother, all the way back. On that side of the pond, where the queen has been deposed from this side of the pond and that side of the pond now with Saint Germain's bloodline and the teachings that were here before the word Saint Germain was an existing or term whatsoever. Germanus Violinus was his name. He was a master violin player. Perfect. He could play anything. And so there goes that concept of do it through art. sound, color, vibration. Seven is alchemy through sound, color, and vibrational healing. The law of the seven colors of the rainbow. And Sananda Kumara says, I come as a rainbow. So as brides of the office of the Christ, using this vehicle, the King of Swords and the wealthy visionaries who planted this program in didn't just make this up. They didn't just put 777 there and not know what they were doing. It's really amazing to recognize that and then adjust that we're not about making money in this. We're about creating the cycle of prosperous thinking with our heart and engaging in what we just learned when we read who we really are. Where did I lose that page? That was so amazing. That one piece that we are, I just, every time it gives me goosebumps. There we go. Yes. Man, by her very nature, is a social and reciprocal being. So the process of cycling is absolutely engaged in that. That's absolutely what cycling is. And staying in the philosophy of man simply and bringing a cash flow to what we can do together as social reciprocal beings is what this was designed for us to do. So that is actually anchoring the new economy of the rainbow children of light, of which Sananda comes and says, I am come as a rainbow. Oh my God, the seven root races coming together with now anchoring the world economy in that seventh root race consciousness of knowledge is power, so that we use the cash flow to take the knowledge of the new technologies and bring them together, all together now. And as we can just get over all the other things, what we need is to invite people who are really looking for a solution at a soul level. And at a soul level, it is that the solution lies. And emotion, it's for her. Emotions are the gateway to the soul. So as we flow with cash flow and we use emotion to emote with, okay, emotion, let's take the word apart. Let's use this kind of the power of the force, right? Yoda. We're talking about Yoda energy here. Let's get this galactic notion moving because it's already here. Emotion. Energy equals MC squared. Let's put that emotion to motion in this philosophy. Emotion, E equals MC squared, is by use of the power of all the seven rays of the rainbow and create that kind of motion with this flow and literally create cities of light with this, where the idea of the artist, let's have an artist community. Let's have an artist community, a healing community. What else? A community of all kinds of what? A community, somebody want to say what other kind of community they would want to have?
For learning, the children.
Well, the children, you see, the thing is that every community we create will be provided for the children. Number one. So we provide our children an artist community within that, you know, like the children of the artist community. And then we invite other children from other communities to come and share and exchange and barter, and then the other children go to the healing communities and they go and learn what they... Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is global. And let's have it spherical. Let's do the try easy way first. It's really true. And you know, Bill Clinton would be talking about one thing about what they would be building down in Haiti. I'll just tell you what, he's got a connection with this amazing connection with the one that is in a body now. That was Magdalene back then. And that was allowed to, with great stealth, take a small group of us with the help of, you might say, when my mother passed over, I received a small little amount of financial inheritance. And it was used to go and dig 6-7 feet down to dig an opening to the exact measurements where Dr. Maluski, you know, doused for, had gone to the Bruton Parish graveyard, which is right outside the opening, the entrance to the parish itself, where we talked about that the parish itself was a Unitarian gathering. It was the gathering of Thomas Jefferson and these extraordinary, you might say, men who were the ones that were, we just read about, who got together here with the Moorish nation people, the United States Republic formation. Here, let's see here. One more thing. It's called the Color of Law and Birthright Abuses. Talking about color here, healing and coloring through the law. In our examination of the nature of and the character of isonomy, we must examine the reverse or contrary socially manifest political activities. This is important, so as to give the student knowledge of or to present a comparative subject for study of what is opposite to isonomic principles of governance. The past and current color of law and birthright violating activities expressed by many political and corporate persons are the root of a large part of the social corruption struggle that has marked what has been coded in North American history as Black people's struggle for freedom. Color of law and birthright theft has been and is actuated in and through public and private institutions. These institutionalized abuses of authority and political power must never be ignored nor never left ever unaddressed. That's what's changing right now. It's all now. Commonly practiced fraud, politically initiated thievery, and abusive profiling and harassment, policies of private law agencies feigning as properly authorized government entities are vital to slave-deluding social systems. The extortion-derived economics of such persons and agencies depends on, quote, biased control and imbalanced administration and control over such institutions. They thrive on abuse of authority. These social and economic oppression methodologies have been and still are a part of the accepted and normal social patterns maintained within contemporary North American society. However, such dark side human behavior and practices, while common, must not be confused with organic, constitution-oriented, civilized, governmental principles. Objective students of history are better grounded in law, with knowledge of the true isonomy principles upon which this nation and her supreme law was founded. Color of law is
peripheral to slave-deluding, anti-isonomy philosophies, and thus manifest as anti-constitutional political acts of color, fraud, abuse of power, and abuse of authority. Fake law urgency and concern is often displayed by many of the corrupt rude descendants of the conquerors, usurpers, traitors, and exploitative colonists. Their criminal, sociopathic, and inhumane behavior has been blatantly apparent. So therefore, never confuse those who oppose isonomy principles with the true citizens of the United States Republic. As established in Central North America in the year 1781 AD by the agreements between the Moors and a selected principal few of the Sons of Europe, this political union will give the student a proper and true concept concerning the duality of the national seal and of and for the United States Republic, as displayed on the back of the unconstitutional fiat dollar, Federal Reserve notes, imposed upon the people and now in circulation. These supreme law violation issues must be lawfully addressed. Those who have fraudulently traded places with the rightful political government body, buried the true history, burned books, artifacts, and records, and have stolen the birthrights of Moorish Americans, etc., are revealed by the exposure of right law principles, and entrenched violators can see the destined change and ethereal writing on the walls and history in the making. Disloyal and scurrilous persons have systematically subverted and fraudulently misrepresented the delegated sovereign powers of the natural peoples, United States, seats of government. Many have consciously and criminally subverted the supreme law of the land. In our face, our lovely Supreme Court, everybody, we just talked about that, and unconstitutionally obtained political rulership in this nation, capital N. Keep in mind that de jure governance authority must be constitutionally delegated properly and only through the Republican, capital R, form of government established for this nation, capital M, the United States Republic. Capital, you know, T, U, S, and R. They who are in violation are now being fully exposed, and this is part of the manifest prophecies made by the descended down to, but made by and descended down to us by our ancient Moabite, Moorish mothers and fathers, as we were pointing out and Richard was talking in the astrology, male and female, man and maid. Let us make a man, and let us make a maid, equal together, Moorish, capital M, mothers, and capital S, fathers, functioning within this divine wisdom we're reading about here. Moors, when being themselves before the Inquisition-induced dark period, and the Moors falling into the social political morass of, quote, nigger mentality distortion and forced slavery, were holistic emphasized in their thoughts, religious practices, social processes, and actions. Moabites/Moors knew and acknowledged that the cosmos emphasized the universe, is of one interconnected order or system. There never was, never is, and never will be any more, nor anyone, nor anything, nor any entity that exists unto itself, or that is ever separate from the whole. Those things ethereal or earthly are all related. That which is moved or is moving, existing, etc., and has or is influenced above, was and is reflected below. This is, that means in the divine realm, that which is moved or is moving, existing, etc., and has or is influenced above in the divine realm, which we are all from, was and is reflected below, here in the garden, through, by, and with, and for us, together. This is what has been long said of the heavens and earth, capital E, connection. This natural law of connection and relativities translates into ancient philosophy and is enshrined within the phrase, as it is above, so shall it be below. All capital letters here, A as A above, S so, S shall, E B, and B below. This ancient phrase is accompanied by and was and is graphically symbolized by the dual trine symbol of the Moors, which has often been called Solomon's shield. Moors, striving to go back to their own forefathers' right frame of mind, will definitely gravitate to a more holistic and universal, inclusive normalcy in the thinking processes. These thought vibrations must be involved and considered with the understanding that the qualifications, realizations, and acknowledgments of the divine forces and order within and of nature are more relative to reality and the truth of the functional and scientific Supreme God concepts. This will give one insight into the ancient and original foundation knowledge principles, which made up ancient and modern religions, with allegorical stories infused with ethical as well as moral instructions. With this in mind, we must also remember that the generic use of the word God, emphasized, is much broader in its meaning than the masses have been taught. The word God is actually a modern and contemporary social, political, and religious iteration and has been a more recent part of human societal development. The multi-application and use of the word God is presented in and for informational contrast to, yet is not condemning of, the varied and changeable and constantly reconstructed and personified religions, some of their dogmatic doctrines, and the many man-made images, which have been based merely in vague, unsubstantiated, and constantly changing beliefs. This institution bred ignorance, has caused much of the well-documented confusion, hatred, and destabilizing behavior, as has been manifested in inter-religious wars and social corruption. And so, the limited understanding of the generic application of the word God has set the social stage for the deceptive social and political misguidance and material abuses which have long plagued the countless derivative religions. Whoa, derivative markets, derivative religions, everybody. fake markets, fake religions. Woo-hoo-hoo. The true gold is knowledge. Fake knowledge, not truth. Fake derivative religions, not truth. This promoted mental illness has been the common fare of most social solace belief systems in these days. And so it is of great importance that we know of the ancient foundation philosophies in order to make comparative studies for correcting our sinful ways, which have origin in ignorance and arrogance. Know thyself to thine own self, capital S. Be true. How are we doing, everybody? This is what we were also told, the King of Swords told us about doing the 777. This is why I'm reading this. He said, use this for living the Moabite way, the way of the Moor, the way of the sovereign Moor Washita, one nation, Moabite nation. Do it how? Take what you need to, you know, be in the simplicity of the gift of life. And once you have done that, then give everything else away to the healing community, to the art community, and to the healers and to the artists, to the communications of dance, media, music, color, sound, vibration, world instruments of free speech, and take care of those instruments and those who are instrumentalities of truth and wisdom and knowledge. That's what we do with everything else. And then everything else shall be added unto us. I pass it on.
Matt from Florida is on line B2.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys.
Hi, how are you?
I have a few things to comment on from earlier. First of all, Rama, it is awesome that you played RPGs. I played with essentially the new Dungeons & Dragons for years, World of Warcraft Paladin. And yeah, that's just freaking awesome. I should have guessed you would play that.
Cool.
I do
Star Trek as well in Star Wars.
Oh, are you playing the new one?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Then second, the woman you were talking to earlier, Jillian?
Yeah.
She got so lucky that she wasn't killed when she tried to do what she did to get out of the MI5. I mean, there was a group of us back during the Syrian genocides. We were Estonians. And, you know, just before we started making the first genocides, we were all deciding, you know, this is wrong. Many of us actually tried to kill our commanders to just get out or to end the whole thing. They ended up being killed. The only reason I didn't try it was because I had just seen my sister killed and then raped brutally, which Beth didn't tell you about that part, sorry. But, it was bad. The fact that she was able to get away with what she did is a miracle. I am so happy to hear that someone actually did it successfully for once.
Matt, would you just explain a little more? You said a lot of things to build up to what you were saying about Julian. So could you just give people just a little more background about what you're talking about in terms of you and what you experienced and your sister?
Sure. A long time ago in the star system of Sirius, there were a ton of wars. I mean, this was way long before even the Civil War began. This was during a period called the Genocides. And what ended up happening, the group that was the Cetonians or would become the Cetonians, the Dark Syrians essentially, were massacring light ones. And I happened to be one of the dark ones just to get the experience.
Matt, can you frame where were you? Were you on Sirius or were you on the Earth? And can you give us a time frame? Is it 30,000 BC, or where are we?
This is on Sirius. This was before your Egyptian lifetimes ever happened, or rather right at the beginning of them.
Okay,
and
so the Egyptian period was, well, the one you're talking about, the 18th dynasty, was about 1400, 1500 B.C. Was this at the time of Atlantis, more like 15,000, 20,000 B.C.?
I think it was around there. It may have been earlier even. I'm not sure. This was at the very beginning of when all the trouble started.
Okay, so that must be right at the time when the Orion War was coming to the Earth in the early period of Atlantis, like I said, 35,000, 30,000 B.C.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And yeah, basically myself and some others who I'm actually going to school with now, we all decided to rebel one way or the other. I ended up killing myself. Some others did that. Some others even tried to kill their commandos, which is what Jillian ended up doing successfully. But they were brutally killed, and then their bodies were raped. That seems to be a very common theme amongst the Sejonians. They love to do that. But, yeah, like what I was saying, she's had such a miracle in getting done what she did. It's astounding.
It is astounding.
And
Rama,
yes.
Come here, because we want you to respond a little bit. Okay, now, who talked about this? You were talking with the King of Swords and this lady, or?
Jillian.
Just the King of Swords and Jillian, and you were?
Jillian called me up and said she was a friend of Harry and William.
Okay, and she knows the King of Swords? Absolutely. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did she get out alive? She got help from the Galactics.
She got help from the Galactics.
With the help of the ground crew at the 38th level above the president,
yeah.
The King of Swords.
ACIO.
Remembering that the King of Swords has had his own starship issued to him by Ashtar from the Ashtar Command since 1999. And he's not the only one. You know, these folks like, what's his, Tom the Ringtail Cat, you know, and Jack the Alien Hunter, and who's the other ones, Rama? Some more of those guys. I mean, they have their own ships too. Right?
Oh, yeah. And, of course, they had a greater advantage than what we ever did, because we were just a few individuals working through the military, and back in those days, the best that could be done was for Mother Sekhmet to heal us back and allow us to end the Civil War.
That's right.
Okay, so is this the lifetime that you were in? Was this a long time? You were in this lifetime a long, long time ago. And now it's
over. It was to gather data, actually, about the Syrian military systems. And this was when the Orion Wars were just starting, I suppose, so that would make some sense. And
the Orion Wars were going on before they came in for 5,000 years, before they came into Atlantis. And it was awful. Yeah. Trillions got deleted from the program.
Right.
With lasers going everywhere and saber swording around and stuff. What an experience.
Oh, yeah.
So now in this lifetime, I get that you're using your saber swording on the communication devices. Is that true?
To some extent, yeah. I suppose, unfortunately, the 3D life I'm in now isn't very facilitating for that sort of thing. High school students don't actually get the swords, if you know what I'm saying. But in the higher dimensions, yes, absolutely.
There are lightsabers that can be purchased out there.
Really?
I have not kidding.
Is that for kids to play on down the street and take
they
each other
not,
out?
They are not kids. They toys. They can cut a car in half.
Yeah, that's not a good idea to have that being sold out there to the public. Are you sure? No, Rama.
I'm serious as a heart attack.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, this is why it's so important to realize that this was a galactic operation from the very beginning. I really want to thank you for what you're talking about here, because You know there is no time, so the reason you're remembering this and sharing this with right now is that we're picking up the sword of truth right now, and we're finishing this war, not by more war. We're finishing it by negotiating peace.
Right.
We're actually, watch what Barack has been doing. He has done nothing but do a peacemaker walk. And Beth, who did you say he was now bringing in? He was bringing in, we were talking about this morning, another being.
Another being?
Yeah, well, another master energy coming through Barack right now. Where did I hear that? Just this morning.
Did you hear it on Lily's call?
I don't know. I thought I heard it from you, Beth, or maybe I was in my inner ear with you. I'm just saying that he's been brought into a role right now that is embracing more than he's been embracing to this moment. And it is a combination of things that he did when he was Akbar the Great, and now, and everything in between that we still don't know completely, including his Syrian lifetimes, and including his Andromedan lifetimes. So when we're talking like this, like Matt remembering his Syrian lifetimes, and getting the experience by being on the dark side. Rama was on the dark side during the Orion Wars.
I became a Borg, and I assimilated many worlds.
And
it wasn't pretty.
When we first met, and we did Mama Mo's mortuary for those kids for a couple of years together, the first thing that Maureen did is she took her Marcel Vogel crystals, and she went over all of his chakras, and when she got to his third chakra, it was just like big time. There was this giant crystal still wedged in his third chakra from the Orion War, which was a control device that Jehovah had put in him, even though he appeared to be
normal.
Let go and free to go. And, I mean, he has had it with him ever since then. That's the trip, everyone. That's the trip, because all the lifetimes in between, now you were Jack the Ripper. I mean, you were Jack the Ripper, but you were there invoking Lucifer into Jack the Ripper's body with the help of a coven, a clan.
The Order of the Golden Dawn.
Oh, my God, with Aleister Crowley, you know, playing with magic and playing with things that were questionable.
At the time, I was an observer, and I believe Ashtar placed me in that observation role.
To see, just like, well, Matt became enmeshed in the dark side, and he's still alive, and this, you know, in the now, because everything that you remember now about something like that means that's the energy that you're talking about, and you were talking about it's a miracle that she's still alive.
Right.
And he's alive. And, my
We're
God, you heard everybody.
I'm getting the opportunity to heal all of this now. Like, for instance, my grandmother was apparently one of the dark Syrians who Hitler was answering to, which is fantastic. But
your mother, what? You said
I know
that
others who were placed into the Rockefeller family. And now they're having to deal with that. Not very well, but they're having to deal with it. And, you know, this is just happening for everyone.
Matt, can you go a little slower and say that again? I didn't hear the first thing you said. You went really fast.
Sorry. Yeah, many of us are getting to heal this now. Like, for instance, my great-grandmother apparently was, as the way Ashtar explained it to me at least, she was one of the dark Syrians who Hitler was answering to.
Oh,
so that's
my God.
But apparently she had gotten away and she had left her seed, I suppose, in here, over here. So now that's not so much an issue, but it's still something that I'm having to heal, and there are other people who are healing this by becoming a part of the Keller family, actually. And they're having to deal with that much. And, you know, everyone I know from that war is having to heal this now by actually either turning to the light or just turning away from those things that were controlling them before.
And the other thing I was going to say is that you may be able to remember light cities on Sirius that in that lifetime, you know, might have gotten obliterated, and you might remember even the technological formulas for how they were built and what they look like and everything. You might remember a lot of stuff.
I spent a lot of time in the healing temples on Sirius.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
Yeah.
What configuration were they in? Pyramids?
They were pyramids, and there were actual giant crystals that were grown up out of the ground, like the Fortress of Solitude, like in Superman. And there were 4, 5, 10-story tall buildings that, you know, were made out of natural quartz crystal, and in a sense, they were so solid unless the major quake affected the landmass. And they knew how to stabilize these structures with force fields, so even if there was shifting of the land, they could stabilize it with the force fields. We have to get there, and I believe we are there, yet the boys in black got to give it up and just say, we're out of here.
Right.
You know, this cycling, all this time we've been talking about using this formula in LGM prosperity with these principles. And so what are we cycling? We're cycling these principles into the consciousness of the economic foundation for doing the work.
We're taking the money instead of using it for war or campaign financing to continue supporting people like Mitt Romney and Sarah Palin. We're creating free energy.
And, you know, the bottom line is as this gets cycled more and more, it becomes perpetual because the way of the peaceful warrior has become known, and has become known into work very instantaneously. And the energies of everything that's coming in is only supportive now because the cycling of the life force and the principles of the mother is what's really going out. That means we're nurturing each other together with what? Love, gratitude, and nourishment. Of spiritual nourishment. And that's what it is. It's a spiritual economy where our actions are based in wisdom, knowledge, and truth, and understanding. My goodness. Which are all aspects of surrender to love.
The Morris principles.
One love, one peace. Shall we have some music? It's 4:34.
Yeah, anyway, I'm going to get off the line because I know you guys have like 20 minutes
thanks
left.
Thanks so much for calling, Matt.
Anyways,
Matt, that was really
thank
good.
You guys. Thank you for all the work.
Really good.
That was really good, Tess, because remember, with this cash flow, we are in a place with our planetary citizenship and our solar system citizenship because the entire solar system runs on this Moravite Moorish principle of mother. And we're also in a universal system, and we're in an inter-universal system. And the galactic capital of Salvington, which is what it's called, Salvington, is called Galactic Center.
26 degrees Sagittarius.
Yes, is aligned now with a galactic alignment stellar-wise with this place, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And we didn't get to read that yet. We still have to. The Chronicles of
Pax.
The Chronicles of Peace of Pax. And what is the Chronicles of Peace about? It's about the galactic law coming to the earth and really the Ashtar Eagles bringing it into reality. Right?
That's right. And
that's called the return of the dove.
We will have, I mean, we are going from a UN to a global congress, which represents all the different nations that turns into the Articles of Confederation and Starfleet. It's already happening.
Ah. Well, also, that's right, when we're getting into cycling, where we're receiving and giving in a cycle, then we're going into the balanced scales of Libra. And this has to do with the balanced scales of Libra that's on the seal for the Treasury for the United States of America Republic. So I think that maybe we have a little time to go there. Okay, as an example of revealing the thinking processes of key members among the founding fathers of the United States of America Republic, we will explain some of the cleverly displayed glyphs, symbolic portrayals of ancient Moabite Moorish culture and principles as part of the National Treasury Seal. We read this before, yet it's just so much that, you know, helps go over. While we will not go into any great depth with the matter, as the Treasury Seal is not the main subject, we will show the relativity for purposes of supportive thought association. When one observes and studies the Treasury Seal, one should take note of these combined symbols, which will identify, Moorish scientists, sheikhs, sheikesses, doctors of philosophy, PhDs, doctors of law, LLDs, master masons, Eastern stars, all capital E, capital S, government rulers, capital G, capital R, sages, hey, Master Sage, industrialists, etc., universally recognized. I love that industrialist thing. That's where the ACLU principle, universal unionizing, universally recognized the choosing of these glyphs as purposeful and concisely presented precepts, which were symbolically placed to stimulate the mana. Let me just count these. Let's see. We start up here. Moorish scientists, 1, sheikhs, 2, sheikesses, 3, doctors of philosophy, 4, doctors of law, 5, master masons, 6, Eastern stars, 7, government rulers, 8, sages, 9, and industrialists, 10. 10 glyphs. Wow. Glyphs are purposeful and consciously presented precepts which were symbolically placed to stimulate the mana. Mana, which is dolphin energy, by the way. Mana is dolphin medicine. So this is the return of the, you remember we called it the porpoise fund, yet we called it by the D name, the D fund. And this is why. Because all along, from the very beginning, we were going to go to the new Sarah law, back to Moabite law, Black Madonna law, back to the fact that Lady Di was Sarah, was the Black Madonna, representing the Black Madonna law over there in England, and they didn't do it.
This is why Doty comes in.
So our founding fathers did it over here, or
this
didn't
is
do
why
it over here.
Doty comes back to heal the East, which represents a healing of that energy of the star and the crescent, which never was an enemy of the West. And that was all created by these Caucasoids, as Dr. Valentine put it, and excuse the expression.
Okay, so mana is food for the mind, and mana is actually nature's law. So as we do food for the soul, the mind, and also provide a cycling of the flow of money, with that, we take money and give it purpose and give it meaning and give it something to have faith in again. We all lost, you know, what they, Mr. Paulson, our secretary treasurer, Hank Paulson, he was so-called convincing and begging everybody, for the sake of confidence, we need to have $750 billion.
Tom Hartman equated this to walking into Congress with a dynamite pack strapped around my chest going, if you don't give me the money, I'm going to blow this up.
Hey, it's 441, which is the reverse of 144. It's joy plus one. It's joy plus universal oneness. Okay, mana is nature's law principle, which relates to and is, in fact, the mental body. Remember, we just read how much mental illness we have in terms of the way that the economic system has been making people ill by going in that dysfunctional, destructive pattern. Okay, so now the fact is the mental body, principle which relates to and in fact is the mental body and is of ancient Sanskrit, Moabite, and Hittite. Sanskrit is the language of the Moabite and the Hittite. Means, quote, and means man, and it is the energy and the essence of the mind. Man is, man and it is the energy and the essence of the mind. It means man, and it is the energy of the... So if it means man, then it man means the energy of the essence of the mind. That's what we are. We're higher mind. That's that divine wisdom. We're Neptunians. We really are, which is the eighth planet, which is the law of eight, which is Maitreya, universal law. Coming back to the earth. That's whale medicine. And it's also raven medicine. Because whale medicine is the records of all time of how we have evolved to be able to use universal law, to use galactic law, and to be able to reintegrate as galactic nations under one nation, one Moabite Moorish nation. Wow. Okay, so man, think of them symbolically as food for the mind. Now, let us take note of the symbols. Number one, the shield of heraldry, capital H. Two, the balanced scales of Libra. Three, the 13 stars as geometrically set within a carpenter's square, emphasized. With the 90-degree angle pointed upward. Four, the key, capital K-E-Y, placed beneath the square. The abbreviated analysis is this. The shield of heraldry is in reference to the organic oneness of the nation. And this is what Grand Goddess Lily and her Grand Goddess friend are doing. They're bringing that to the summit. This, the oneness of the nation, the Moabite Moorish nation, worldwide. And its covenant, commitment to the divine principles of nature's law and nature's God. By way of the scales of Libra. When the moon is in the seventh house of the sun called Libra, therein lies the scales of Libra. And then Jupiter aligns with Mars. That means getting off the wheel of karma and onto the wheel of dharma, the work of the garden work that got rudely interrupted. Okay, so again, commitment to the divine principles of nature's law and nature's God by way of the scales of Libra, the carpenter's square and the key to civilization placed centrally within it. The balanced scales of Libra implies the conjoining nature or partnership agreement, nature and of nature and character of the establishment of the United States of America Republic,
coming out of the past political and social discord between the Moors and the European nations. Thus Libra, which is ruled by Venus, and being an air sign, invokes the principle of adhering to peace. Wow. Air signs of the zodiac indicate high levels of human thought, thinking, and mentality. Thus, Libra also symbolizes a beacon light or goal of intent for measuring the substance for substance character as adapted and established for our money and social thought and law dealings. A desire for peace evolved by civil necessity from the negative effects of ancient wars and hatred. As a short list or points for reference, look at and review history from the Punic Wars, the Christian Crusades, to the Battle of Tours, to the French Revolution, to the American Revolution, and the Franciscan Brotherhoods. Overthrowing of the Moorish Empire of the West and the successive enslavement of the Moors with the evolving United States of America Republic. Therefore, the long-recognized and universal-oriented character of social and religious tolerance being and practiced as a part of Moorish culture was an important key to establishing as a principle of law social harmony and justice into the fabric and the foundation of the new order of government. These political acts were the result of conscious efforts made to go back to the tried and true principles which have always been known among men of knowledge to contribute to the well-being and the longevity of any civilized society. All and any violations against these principles have and will produce the direct and opposite effect. Consider this with the fact that the Northwest continent resides in the sign of Cancer. That's amazing, because both Rama and I are Cancers. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Which is ruled by the moon. Moon, shadow, moon, shadow. Why don't you get something like that? Let's play it. I'm going out, Rama. It's almost got to go up. This may give insight into the sometimes contradictive and conflicting social disharmonies which we Moors are bound by and are committed by destiny to work out and, big letters, solve the soul ocean, the soul unction. And you know the last of the 78 programs is called unction. And the reason it's called unction is it's actually all the gold certificates of Mexico, which is representing true North Amexum, or the North American Republic, that gold. It is the last program. At this point, I'd point that out. That's why we got to wrap it up. This may give insight into the sometimes contradictive and conflicting social disharmonies which we Moors are bound by and are committed by destiny to work out and solve. After all, we are the direct descendants of the ancient Moabite Moors all in the world. We are one, and we'll leave it at that, okay?
Thank you, Tara.
You're welcome. Okay, go to grtprosper.com, and you can learn more about 777 along with what we've done today. And spread mother, spread nourishment, love, and gratitude as we get together as social beings and do that. I love you.
Do you want to play this?
Sure. I got this right here.
451.
Oh, my. Here we go.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you ready? What are you going to do? Tell me and let me get up there by the tune. Oh. By the turning device.
Okay.
What is it, honey?
It's called Road Singer.
By Yusuf
Islam.
And what was his name before?
Cat Stevens.
Hmm.
Yes, and Cat Stevens, he knows all about it. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. All the way around the block. He's one of the wealthy visionaries, everyone. Okay, let's go.
Long cape and hat. People stood and stared, then closed their doors. As he passed, he strolled the empty street. Kids fed on tin cans. Then the panting dogs began to bark as the road seemed to say, where do you go? Where do you go when hearts are closed? When a friend becomes a stranger, nobody wants to know. Where do you go? Where do you go when the world turns dark and the light of truth is blown out and the roads are blocked? He stopped by a store.